sinners got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. It's Tuesday. Y'all know what day that is. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, brand new biblical question for this week. Lots of different responses about it. Interesting responses, too. Very much so. How is it that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around? How is it that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around? How is that? What happened? How is it? I want to know. Understand, know thyself. Know thyself, you shall be free. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. I just might see here. And you can podcast the show if you're not able to just sit and watch. And you can still listen live as it is happening. Well, listen live means it's happening. On your phone. You can listen no matter where you're going and what you're doing. You can still be listening to the show. Then when you get comfortable, you can podcast it again. And so, you can listen on your phone by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Tuesday. Yeehaw! Again. They come really fast, right? Yeah, they do, Jesse. And unless you just tune in for the first time, Tuesdays are one of my favorite days because it reminds me when America was an amazing America. It was good old days. That's gone now. So we have Tuesday every day to remind us of the good old days when America was America. So Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me.
What the?
let the dogs out. Amazing. 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 Country and Western Tuesday. Amazing, huh? The good old days. When boys were boys and men were men. I was reflecting again. Know thyself, right? And then I counsel with men and women around the world and in other countries and everything. And it's interesting because the problem is the same. Maybe some situation might be a little different, but the problem is the same. And what I realized, and over the years, I've noticed this change in my country and around the world, it seems, is that you can hardly find anyone today. Couple things. You can hardly find anyone today who is truly themselves, that they are an individual. It is so uncommon now that I forgot it used to be that way, where individuals were individuals. They were themselves. They did not try to be like anyone else. They did not steal someone else's identity and pretend that that's who they were. It's so hard to find it now. I forgot the way it used to be. Isn't that amazing? It's so unusual now to find young and older, millennials, Z's, and younger, and maybe even a little older than millennials now. It's hard to find an individual. Everybody have stolen somebody else's identity, meaning that they're trying to be like someone else and not just literally be themselves. You're never, ever, ever, never, 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 ever, and you can bank on this one too, you're never going to be free until you, man and woman, men and women, male or female, become an individual. You got to be you and not try to be like anyone else. You wish other people well, whatever they got, but you got to be you. You're not going to be happy until you can be you. When I was growing up, there is no way in hell or heaven that especially my grandparents, because I'm pretty much raised by my grandparents, there's no way that they would have allowed me to be someone else or to act like other people or they wouldn't. What's wrong with you, Pachi? That's not you. And it's hard. And another thing that's really abnormal, but it's so prevalent now that it almost seems normal, but it's not normal. Group thinkers. It's hard to find an individual, male or female, that is unwilling not to be a part of a group thinking deal. Isn't that amazing? It's like, what has happened? Where did everything change? I also realized, for an example, let me tell you what I'm talking about. The average person think that you cannot earn a living. Well, this is just one small thing, right? But it's so true nowadays. The average person think that you cannot earn a living unless you go to college. The male or female thinks you got to go to college. And then if you don't go to college, all of your, well, not all, but your family members and your friends try to put you down and embarrass you and make you feel that you're not important if you don't go to college. And a lot of people are pressured into going to college. And they don't even know why they're going, the subjects they take, they don't like them. But they do it because everybody else is doing it. And they get in debt, and they're still miserable. You don't have to go to college to have a life. Go to work. Get a job. It doesn't matter. Get a job. And one of the callers here yesterday, being a janitor, was beneath him. There's no such thing as a beneath you job. A job, you have the ability given to you by God to earn a living. God doesn't care what kind of job you get. It ain't fancy to him or not fancy. You're able to put food on your table, a roof over your head, gas in your car, and you're fine. But most people don't want to be an individual. They want to fit in. You're such an idiot for wanting to fit in with anyone else. You're an idiot. Just call yourself an idiot. You're stupid. Why do you want to fit in with anyone? And the people that you're fitting in with are miserable people. That's why they try to make you fit in with them, because they can't stand to see the reality that they're weak. You don't have to go to college to earn a living. Get a job. And manage your own life. Isn't that amazing? Another thing that's missing, heavily missing, I didn't realize it was missing, is that in the good old days, when America was amazing, your parents prepared you for life, to live life once you turn 18 and go live your life. They taught you from day one how to be responsible. Even as little kids, when we didn't want to go to work, there was a time I did not want to go and work in the cotton field or anywhere else. But they said, no, you got to work. Because at the time when I was younger, I didn't understand how important it was to work and be able to take care of yourself as a kid. But they, hey, no, you got to go to work. I wanted to go to school or just wanted to stay home and play. But they know. And I didn't understand it until I turned 18 and left home and never looked back. And I'm grateful to my grandparents that they taught me to work. And then I didn't try to fit in with anyone. And so I earned a living and had what I had. I didn't fit in. I didn't try to fit in, and I had what I had. I got what I wanted. And so I didn't try to get what somebody else had. When I turned 18 and moved away, I went from job to job. When I thought this was enough money because I wanted to buy this or that, I went to a different job. I worked two jobs. It was in me. I didn't even think about, oh, this is so hard. This is so rough. I can't do this. It was instilled in me while growing up as a kid. Now they call it slave labor and all that. You listen to the stupid world, and now you don't even teach your children, boys and girls, to be responsible. They even made you move away from the country to the city. They said it was the best life, and it's not. Because individuals are not growing up being responsible. for themselves. They all want to fit into a group. Look for an individual that is an individual. That doesn't mean, you know, hang out with folks, you know, enjoy your life, you laugh and play and have fun. But you're still individual. You think for yourself. And then you tell people you're not being yourself, they get mad. Like, what the? And because they're irresponsible with material things, living in the physical world, they are irresponsible living in the physical world, using the intellect in the right way, using the intellect to build a physical life for yourself. Feed yourself, clothe yourself, house yourself, drive your car if you want a car, ride the bus or whatever. But you're not grown, developed in that way. You're irresponsible because your parents did this to you. And once you get older, it's hard to become responsible in an intellectual, physical way. And because you're a lazy physically, spiritually, you're lazy too. You're irresponsible for your spiritual life. You won't take, even when you're told how to find this place within and live from within, it takes a lot of work. There was a young lady at the meeting center. I love her. She's cute. She's funny. And her mother tried. She said, I gave up. I went back to getting my goals. Work on my goals, she said. She's given up on being responsible for her spiritual life. I tell people, okay, there's another reality. There's another world that you live from while living in this world. There's another place to live from. And that place is easy. The bird is the light. You have a light life. Not have a burden light, right? Well, okay, how do I get it? How do I find it? Look within. Live from within. And it's so easy, it's not even, I can't even find the words, really, to tell you how easy it is to live on this planet, this earth, from within. Well, how do I do that? Forgive. You got to first see that you don't have it. You got to forgive. You got to drop the anger. But because you're irresponsible in your physical life, you're also irresponsible with your spiritual life. You won't even take responsibility. I said, okay, I'll make it a little easier for you. Always remember to keep your mind where your body is. Don't let it take you off to time, meaning past, future, what has happened, what will happen, what you have done already. Don't let your mind keep pulling you back into that. Walk in the spirit by being present all the time. Oh, they forget to do that. Irresponsible. An irresponsible life is a hard life to live. But you got to take responsibility and don't try to be like anyone. You can learn from people. But don't try to be like anyone but you. Another thing I know that I find so interesting, it is so interesting, but I understand. I totally understand. Christ, when Christ was here, he was a teacher. He taught us about what we forgot. We forgot we were children of God. We forgot that God is love, and we're supposed to love him first and love everyone else, no matter what their situation is, and forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They can't see. They're asleep. We used to know this as kids, but then we forgot when we were traumatized. And so Christ came, and he was wise. He had perfect love. He taught us about the Father who is of love and that we can return to him now. He has taken care of it. We can now can come back home. And how to find that way home? He said, look within. The kingdom of heaven is within. Well, where do I find it? Where do I look for? Do I have to go back in my mama's womb? Are you saying I got to go back into mama's womb? No. The kingdom of heaven is in you already. And so he was a teacher. And they call him God. They took away the title of teacher and call him God. And now you think that it's so difficult to be like Christ, because Christ was God. And you suffer because you're not an individual. Christ taught by pointing the way to the truth. And then when he got ready to take off to go back home, because at some point he had to go home, he said, don't worry. The teacher said, don't worry. I'm going back to my father's house. And I'm going to send you another teacher, and he will be within. I'll send you another teacher. Don't worry, he'll teach you all things. But what do? You look for somebody else to teach you. And you believe the lies that they tell you. And once you believe it, now you're a group thinker because you believe what they believe. And you said, they said Jesus was God, so God, Jesus must be God. They said, and here's the proof. There's no proof that Jesus said he was God, but they'll make up something to be true. That's not even true. Do what you want, but I suggest you become an individual. Learn from each other, pay attention, learn, but be an individual. Be responsible for your own physical life and your spiritual life. If you want to be free, forget about what other human beings think of you and how they try to make you fit into their misery, because the people who are forcing you to be like them, they are miserable people. That's why they need other miserable people, so it makes them feel like it's okay to be miserable because everybody's miserable and no one can have perfect peace. They make you fit in with them. What's wrong with you? I want to show you an example of what parents should do for their children to prepare them in a physical way to be ready to leave, men and women, boys and girls. So when you leave home at 18, you don't let somebody tell you that you're not going to be anybody because you didn't go to college. People in college are some of the dumbest people I ever seen. Intellectual people are dumb. No such thing as a smart intellectual. That doesn't exist. Here's an example of what we had to go through. And I'm not making this up. I just saw this morning. My producer gave me this story this morning. And it was so interesting. Here's a clip of a guy who grew up in the country and Western Tuesday. He grew up in the country, claiming that doing chores at a young age made men better men. It's so true. This is from Ricky Hills on Facebook. And we're not raising men anymore. He taught really country, so forgive me. The caption reads, we are not raising men anymore because they ain't got nothing to be raised on. Why is this on Facebook?
Uncle Jesse used to leave us chores to do.
I made Ricky to get up and get it, baby.
So did.
Feed the cow, feed the pig. And get the eggs out there, hen there for grandma. You know, you better get out, do all that you're supposed to do now before you screw and slip off from the house. In order for us to get out and play, I had to help him do them chores. If he had 10 rows of corn to hoe, then we got them 10 rows of corn to hoe, then we could go play basketball. But you going to do what them old folks told you to do back in the day and see that what made better men. It seemed like it was bad, but it was good then. Just like it's good, seems like it's bad now, but it's good now.
You ever hold a cone, Hank?
I don't even know what that means.
Corn. Go out and hold a cornfield, man, when you plant corn.
Oh. I have hoed.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
In my parents' backyard.
Oh.
But I didn't have to hoe a whole field.
This reminds me of when I was in school, I would have to get up early in the morning, go out to the barn, bring the cows in, the cow in from the field, milk the cow, feed the cow, and then release it back out into the fields, into the pasture, and then hurry back home and get ready to catch the bus, go down the road and catch the bus to go to school. Before I went to school, I had to go to the barn and feed the cows and the horses and things. Every morning, sometimes it would be so cold. But at the time, it seemed like, I hate this. But they knew better. And as a result of that, and working the fields and doing what this guy said, getting the eggs from the hen house and feeding the hogs and then killing the hogs at the end of the year by bringing them into the barn and hit them up on the head with an axe, in the back of the axe, knock them out, and cut the throat. And then do the rest. Isn't that amazing? But it made you responsible. And so when I left home, I didn't have to call back home to beg for money and all that kind of stuff. Because I was responsible. And then when I realized that, not patting myself on the back, but one responsibility made me, the teaching of the physical responsibility as a kid made me responsible for my spiritual life. I was never satisfied with just being a religious person. Something was wrong. Something was missing. I knew something was missing. I didn't know what was missing. And so I went looking for the answer. What is missing and how do I find it? And it's been a journey, believe me. I was counseling with someone yesterday, a young person, in another part of the world. And he was like, Jesse, this is hard way. I'm out here by myself. No one around me is working on themselves. They don't even understand what I'm going through. But I said to him, this spiritual journey, you got to take it alone. You can't take anyone on this journey with you. You got to travel it alone. You got to take responsibility and travel the journey by yourself to find your way back home. You can't take your parents. You can't take your daddy, your mama, your children, your friends. No one. You must be willing to stand alone. And the problem is most people are not willing to stand alone. They got to be in the crowd because standing alone, the ego makes you think that you're happy and you're not. And then he told me, you know what, just I did what you said not to do, and I totally regret it. What was that? When I first heard about forgiveness, I went and forgave my parents. Then I went out and told everybody, all my friends and everywhere, y'all need to forgive, and now I regret it. Christ said when he healed, go and tell nobody. But the first thing you do is run and tell everybody. Like, what now? You must be willing to stand alone and be responsible for your own life. You learn from others, but keep find your own identity. Be you. Being you works better than being anyone else. It really does work. Believe me. Because you take on someone else's identity, those people are evil, and you're becoming like them. 888-77-JESSE, a quick break. Back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, bro. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. There is something called self-responsibility. Our parents, your parents, should have taught you that when you were little. Boys and girls, prepared you to physically take care of yourself. And if you had learned that, and when you got on the true spiritual journey, you would not be afraid to stand alone with that either. And be responsible for your own spiritual life. And it's so unfortunate, but okay. You got to be responsible. And you got to be you if you want to be free. Don't try to be like anyone else. Don't steal other people's identity by pretending that it's yours. Be you. You work better at being you, men and women, than being somebody else. And then you're going to, once you wake up, truly wake up, you're going to see, like, I'm glad I wasn't trying to be like other people, because you're going to see the nastiness and wickedness of other human beings. Human beings are, when it says that humans are evil, that's not a joke. That's serious. Look how family members treat each other. Look how people treat one another. They don't pray for, they don't love one another. They don't pray and wish you well. They wish you hell because they're evil. So be you and be free. You can be free. Anyway, announcements. What are the announcements? The assignment this week for the fellowship, so you can do it too if you like. Don't think about you at all this week. Don't think about you. See what that like. We do shout-outs, personal shout-outs. Personal shout-outs. Birthday shout-out, wedding shout-out, congratulations, encouragement shout-out. Shout-out. Go to Cameo. CAMEO.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. CAMEO.com/JLP Talk, not Jesse Lee Peterson. Cameo. No, let's see. No, I'm right. Cameo. Go to CAMEO.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. All right, for shout outs. And check out my coffee. Punchy's coffee is amazing. I got my own coffee. From the cotton field to my own coffee. Punchy's coffee. Good. You're going to love it. Really. Go to JesseLeePeterson.shop. JesseLeePeterson.shop. Or RebuildingTheMan.com/stores. All our merch are there anyway, so. Check it out. Don't forget to like these videos, by the way. All right, like the video. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 this morning. The Hake, HAKEReport.com. And after that, the American Anchor Baby. After the Hake Report at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Amazing. Let me go to Cora from Michigan. Cora, you are on the air.
Hi, good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Cora.
So I thought I would do something a little different today and see if I can tell you how I thought it was best to maneuver in this situation instead of asking you and see your thoughts after that so I can start thinking for myself.
Okay.
So long story short, a little brief, I know because you probably don't remember, but...
Never ask a black man if he remembers.
I already assumed I shouldn't ask you that. You would say that. So, anyway, so I forgave my parents a long time ago, and then I got married a little bit after that. And I realized that I had resentment for my husband because of, like, when he, I don't know, just, like, in general resentment. So I went to him and I said, I'm sorry for resenting you and I'm wrong. And we moved forward from that. So I forgave him. And then I realized that I'm still feeling that sensation, I want to call it, of whatever it is, the thrill of anger or whatever. And I went to him about it first and I told him and he said, basically, that the devil's not just going to go away because you want him to. You're going to have to know that it's not the truth. And maybe he said, maybe don't just sit there and watch it this time. Maybe do something. Maybe go on a walk. Maybe, because you know it's not true. So why are you just still sitting there watching it when you... I don't know. So I'm like, you know, maybe I can try that. And it's gotten lighter, definitely. Like, it's not as intense, but when it's there, I really dislike it. And I thought to myself, well, maybe that's a problem. Maybe I shouldn't, like, hate, like, I don't know. I just don't like that it's there still. I don't get why it's there still. I don't know what I need to really do. And I've watched it. I keep watching it. I've apologized for resenting him and admitted I'm wrong. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I don't know. So I want to know your thoughts and see maybe if you have a little bit of a different approach.
The one thing you're doing wrong for sure is that you are watching it, but you have an opinion about what you're watching. You're judging what you're watching. Rather than
but just, I don't know how I'm doing that. I don't know what I'm trying not to do that, but I don't know how I'm doing that. I don't know how to not have an opinion about it. Like, I'm not actively having an opinion about it.
Well, when you're watching it, you're getting all these thoughts about it because you have this emotion stuff going on too. And the emotion is so painful. It feels like it's you, but it's not you at all. And so, but what you should do is just watch it and go about your physical day, doing your physical stuff, you know, making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, going to work, and just being aware that there's a thought or there's pain.
Yeah.
But relax in it. Just relax in it.
Do I have to sit there on the couch and just watch it?
No. You watch it no matter what you're doing. You watch it while you're working.
Just don't turn on the TV or something.
Cora, hold on. Hear me out first before you interrupt.
Sorry.
You go to work watching it, being aware of it. You go to dinner being aware of it. You go to bed being aware of it. You wake up being aware of it. You drive being aware of it and do nothing about it, but just watch it. Don't hate it. Don't love it and don't hate it. Just watch it. And then watching it is the spirit of truth that is shining on the imagination, which is darkness, and it will destroy it for you. And don't worry about how long it's going to take. Don't let the devil say, oh, this thing is too long, this is too hard. Where is God? Why is God so difficult to find and all that? All that conversation is coming from evil and not from you.
Yeah, right. And that's actually the
exact
kind of thoughts
I'm having. But don't be saying right while I'm talking because you're not hearing me.
Sorry, okay. Maybe, yeah. Can I repeat what you said so you know I heard you? I am listening.
Yeah.
I want the truth.
I know. I know that. I can tell. What did I say?
You said that when it comes up to watch it, and I don't have to just sit there on the couch and stare at it. I can just still, like, maybe, you know, go do an activity or something, but still be aware of it. I do have to ask. I don't know how I'm having an opinion about it. I know that I am because I'm hating it, but I don't have to stop having the opinion. So do I watch the hatred towards it too?
Yes.
Because
what you don't realize yet, and I promise you, if you stay with you, come to see this, that there is no you. It's not you that's hating it. It's the thoughts that's telling you, this is awful, you hate this, you this. There is no you. The whole conversation is not you at all. It's evil that made a home in your mind, and it uses your voice to pretend that you're hating it. So you got to watch that, too, and do nothing about it.
So I don't need to do any more of the forgiveness or dig deeper into that part?
No.
It's now just watching it?
All you got to do now is watch. Practice keeping your mind where your body is. Go about your daily life.
Okay.
And while you're going about your daily life, you're dying daily when you're aware of what's going on in your mind and your body, because it's just a thought. That's all it is. There's no you at all. There's not a you
so
having
weird.
To come. See, you interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
There's not a you having the conversation. It sounds like it's you, but it's not even you saying, this is rough, this is too hard. Satan is the spirit of evil saying that in your mind and body, but it's not you. There's no you.
Hasn't it already been taken away from me and Satan's just deceiving me into thinking it's still there technically because I already let it go basically?
It's still there, but it's not you. And if you just go about your daily life, don't argue with it, don't call it you, don't talk to it, don't do anything, it will be completely taken away from you and you'll be 100% free of the darkness. It will be taken away, but you got to allow the spirit to come in and stand between you and the darkness, and it will destroy the darkness. You can't do anything about it. It will be gone. It will be taken away, and you will be free and done with thought. You will never have to think again, except your practical thinking about work and stuff like that.
And so I do have one more question regarding me and my husband.
Okay.
When I got married to him, I didn't have the correct love for him because I was wanting something from him.
Right.
And he kind of had that conversation the other day and it kind of hurt his heart. Not like literally, but he was like, dang, that kind of sucks to hear that. Like, you know, I get it, but I just want to be honest with you. I was like, but now I don't want anything from you or need anything from you. Which allows me to understand that I do have the right love for you now. And he did say, he was like, well, then was our marriage not sent from God? And that like kind of set me in a spiral.
Meaning what?
Meaning I was like, well, but he knew we both forgave and were working on ourselves when we got married. It's just, I still was in my fallen nature and still am, but I'm further now, thank God. But I still was wanting something from him when we got married. Now I don't, and it's been a few months. So I just wanted to ask if, like, our marriage is still from the Lord.
Okay.
And
What made you tell him that you don't want anything from him? Why don't you just quietly live it?
Something had happened. I don't remember. We got into a conversation, and it led to that because he asked what I thought about him. And I said, because he thinks I've been a little bit, like, I've been just, like, only seeing him for work and maybe I have a little bit, but I've been working on seeing him more as a person instead of just for work. And then that kind of came along because, you know, you were just saying this morning, why couldn't I just say the one thing? I had to go into this whole thing. So,
well, the one thing I want you to know for sure, and without a doubt, there's not one marriage on the planet that was from God.
Okay.
The man don't love the woman. So what?
So that's scary. What does that mean for us then? Jeez.
Why that's scary?
Well, if it's not from God, why would I be in it?
To have a baby?
Obviously, absolutely.
That's all the reason to have a baby. But let me just don't interrupt until I finish it, then you. Let me finish and then you interrupt. There's not one marriage on the planet that is from God. All marriages are from hell. And that's why when men and women get married, they fight. And then they try to make the relationship work because they're trying to make something work that was not put together by God. Because what God brings together, you don't have to make it work at all. It works naturally. And so you can rest assured and be comfortable in that no marriage, nobody, even though they have a church wedding, they claim it's from God and they say all these things about God, but it's not from God. That's why it doesn't work. And so the ego caused you to get married. Because you want love or sex or something from the person, and that's what makes you get married, but that's not real love. That's why it changes all the time, because it's not real. It's ego love. It's evil. But now that you are married, and then especially in your case, you and your husband and you are working on yourselves. Now, once you have, you're working on yourself, the spirit of truth, God, or whatever you want to call him, is changing that now from evil to good. You're gonna love God first with all your heart, soul, and might. He's going to love God with all his heart, soul, and might. But you're going to love one another as the way God loved you. So if you both continue to work on yourself, it'll go from evil to good, and it'll last until death do you part, and you will never have to fight to try to make it work at all. It'll work naturally. But if one was not working on themselves and the other one is, it's going to be hell, because the darkness in the other person is going to hate the light in the one that's working on him or herself. But you don't have to worry. You and your husband are working on yourselves, based on what you've told me. You are going to be fine if you stay with it. You're going to love each other with the real love. It won't be your love or his love. It'll be the spirit of God's love in you. As God was in Christ, and Christ loved the human beings in the same way that God loved him, without judging. So you'll be fine. Don't worry.
Okay. Can I talk?
Yes.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
Right.
I hear you, and I love that because I do love him. I think he's a great man of God. He is a great soul. And I don't want anything from him. I realize that was very destructive for us to get together like that.
But don't even judge that now. You just realize we got married and we thought we loved one another, but we didn't. Now we're finding out that we didn't. And both of you working on yourself now, because human beings don't have love anyway. Human beings don't have love. Males or females don't have love. That's why they do what they do to each other. They treat each other with hell because they are evil. But now you're overcoming that evil fake love. You're going to be fine with the real love.
I wanted to ask real quick before I left, when the evil or the feeling comes up of fear or anger or doubt or worry about towards anyone or even just in myself, I realized that it's not the thing out there. Like, it was the clicking on the game, but then it was his chewing. But then if it's not his chewing, it's his nail chewing. And I realized that the devil just makes it seem like it's something out there when it's stuck inside me. So I realized that I take my eyes off of the clicking and I put it into myself, and it's just like gut wrenching.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this sucks. But I just wanted to say, like, when it comes up like that, so like you said, just go about my day. I don't know how to not just sit there on the couch, because usually it's something like that. Like, I hear him in the other room being really loud or something, and I just want to, like, say, please quiet down. I just don't know how, like, I don't
leave
know if
him
I,
alone.
Yes, and I know you've told me that before, and I do. I just don't know if I don't want to distract myself, but I also don't want to just sit there on the couch and watch it and
but how you can't just sit on a couch all day. Don't you have things to do?
Yes, it's just usually when I get home from work and he's on, it's usually a, like that type of situation where I want to relax at the hour too. And I'm like, do I just sit here and watch it, or do I?
Yeah, sit there and watch it. That's beautiful, because now reality, you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're seeing, telling you, you're not important. He doesn't love you. Look, you don't know God. Whatever's telling you, watch it, but don't do anything about it. And relax in it. When the fear come, let me make this point first because of time. You've said it already, but I want to repeat it again. Whatever you're thinking or feeling, whether it's fear or doubt or stress or suicidal thoughts or whatever, it's never, ever, ever, but never, never has anything to do with what's happening outside of you. That is on the inside of you in your mind and emotions. It never has anything to do with anyone else at all. It's already in you. And once you overcome the spirit of fear and anger, those people can say and do the same thing. You won't even be bothered by it because you'll be free within. It's in you. Your husband has nothing at all to do with what you think or feel or anyone else. It's always in you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
What are you about to say?
You don't think I'm just, you don't think I'm just like intellectually watching it, right? And like nothing's happening.
That's the devil telling you that. If that's a thought, just know that's not your thought. And that's not true.
Okay.
All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. You got to know the thoughts are your enemy. They made a home in you when you were traumatized by your mother or grandmother. It's just a thought. Even the idea that there is a you is just a thought. There is no you. You just think there's a you, but it's just a thought. There is no you. Let me hear you repeat that.
The devil was lying to me while you were talking. I'm not going to lie. But there is no me.
Right.
And I still want to discover what that really looks like for me. I'm really excited to see that.
The only thing you're going to discover that there is no you, that has always been a thought, that there's never you. It's just a thought.
When I deny them.
Tell her hate.
That's so funny.
No, I don't want to tell her anything.
You don't want to tell her? You understand? It's just a thought. There is no you.
Yes, I actually do. Because when I ignore them, it like actually goes away. Like,
absolutely.
I've been getting better at that. So
I got to run, but stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome. Back in a moment, folks. Hate news, not the fake news. Coming. Yeah. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother, who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
There's some serious mess going on in this here old world. Am I right or am I right? This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Country and Western Tuesday. You see him right here. There's a Country and Western Tuesday Jesse, March 10th, AD 2026. Hang tight, callers and super chatters. We will be right back to more calls, more super chats, some great stories, and great conversations, informative even. Shout out. Hour two is coming right up, y'all. It is hate news, not fake news. Or is it fake news? Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports Iraq's men's national soccer team is just one match away from qualifying for the FIFA World Cup. Congratulations. It's for the first time in 40 years, in theory. But the closure of the airspace in the Middle East means that that team almost certainly won't be able to travel to their playoff games in Monterrey, Mexico, in time. I didn't know it had a double R, Monterrey. Huh. Anyway, the Iran war timeline. U.S. President Donald J. Trump has given mixed messages. Could be long, could be short, on when the war in Iran will end. He wants to remain unpredictable for Iranians, or the ones running the show over there, so-called. We've already won in many ways, but we haven't won enough, Trump stated in a speech to House Republicans in Florida on Monday. Minutes later, he told a news conference that his administration will not relent until the enemy is totally and decisively defeated. And that's a quote. That comes as a top Iranian official told Commie Nonsense that Tehran is prepared for a long war, so they claim. Meanwhile, current and former U.S. government officials have told Commie Nonsense that last year's sweeping cuts by the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, have hampered the government's abilities to monitor terror threats, so they claim, broadcast U.S. information into Iran, and quickly help U.S. citizens stranded in the Middle East. That's what they claim. Could be, could not be. Gas prices, oil prices remain volatile and well above their levels before the war with Iran started. But they did fall sharply earlier today after Trump said the conflict would be over very soon. Gas prices are still elevated above the oil thing. The average price in the United States was $3.48 on Monday, about 50 cents up since the war began. But some of the world's biggest economies are considering emergency releases of millions of barrels of oil into the market. Experts say that would be a drop in the bucket when it comes to global oil needs. Economists warn the war could do real damage to the U.S. economy. So-called economists, you know. Anyway, Epstein's inner circle, millions of newly released documents from the so-called Justice Department reveal fresh insights, so they claim, into Jeffrey Epstein's relationships with his closest confidants. Or is it confidantes? I don't know. How they helped him maintain his place among the upper echelons of society. He was connected. He was a elbow rubber. He rubbed elbows with people. You know what I mean? So to speak. Even after he was convicted of soliciting prostitution from a minor and had to register as a sex offender in 2008, CNN mapped out Epstein's inner circle, quote unquote, and dug into how they helped with the day-to-day logistics of his life, including withdrawing thousands in cash, setting up shell companies, so-called, and at least in one case, installing hidden cameras at one of his properties. Ooh. And ICE detentions. Two promising young mariachi musicians and their parents being held in ICE detention in Texas for nearly 2 weeks. They've been released. Oh, no. The Department of Homeland, so-called security, said the family had been living in the United States after entering illegally 2023 near Brownsville, Texas. The brothers, Caleb Gámez-Quejar, 14, and Joshua Gámez-Quejar, 12, join a growing list of so-called children and teens swept up in the Trump administration's immigration crackdown, including 5-year-old Liam Ramos. You heard about him. And so it gripped the hearts of the world. So dumb. I'm James Hake. Now back to the J.C. Lee Peterson Show, Hour 2.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my brand new biblical question, how is it that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around? How is it that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around? How is that possible? That's the biblical question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. And you can podcast if you got to run around and you would like to still listen while you're doing whatever it is you're doing, wherever you are, anywhere in the world. Something as simple as working out, running, walking, or whatever. You can listen to the show on your phone by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, are we going to get to your super chats? Go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. And every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday.
Bring back. Bring back. Oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back. Bring back. Bring back my country to
what
me.
Dog? Who let the dogs out?
Woo.
Amazing. 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 It's a spiritual battle. Listen to the, let me, callers, I have a guest with me for a minute, a few minutes here, not for a bit. And so hold on, I will get to your calls. I want to talk to Michael Tracy to get some understanding about what's really going on out there in the world. So Michael has been here before. He is back. And for those who might not know, Michael Tracy is an American journalist and political commentator. And you can support him at www.mttracy.net. And I'll have him give out that again for the before he leave. I wanted to talk to Michael about this whole Epstein thing and the Iran, what's happening in Iran. Michael, how are you?
You know, I'm trying to keep my head up, I guess. How about you?
All is well. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
So, Michael, I want to start out because a lot of people seem to be interested in the Epstein file, which is interesting to me that they are that interested in that. First, let me ask, why are people interested and should they be interested in this whole Epstein situation at all?
Well, you know, I said that I've never begrudged anyone for being interested in the Epstein issue.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just the case that this person had a truly extraordinary degree of connections or associations or ties, you might say, with an extraordinary cross-section of people. Just to give one quick example, when this latest tranche of so-called Epstein files came out, I was going through some of the old records from the initial Florida investigation in the mid to late 2000s that he was a target of. And there were message pads, meaning people would call his house in Palm Beach and leave him a message. And one of his assistants would write the name of the caller on the message pad, and then Epstein would call them back or not. And it turned out he was getting phone messages from Halle Berry, or at least somebody named Halle Berry. And I don't know of any other Halle Berry than the one who's the famous model and actress, right? And before that, I had no idea that Halle Berry had anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not accusing her of any wrongdoing, obviously. But it is just, I think, intrinsically interesting to people that he had these relationships of one degree or another with everybody from Donald Trump to Bill Clinton to Bill Gates, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, Steve Bannon, Noam Chomsky, you name it. So that's one level of intrigue that I think is very understandable. And then if you overlay that with people's visceral response to anything to do with real or perceived child sex trafficking or pedophilia or something along those lines, obviously that provokes very strong emotional reactions from people. And then if you further tell them that there's been a giant cover-up of unspecified dimensions and it has to do with what they perceive to have been grave child sex crimes, then yeah, it's a perfect recipe for perpetual intrigue. And on the Epstein story, now we have this internationalized component where it seemed to embroil the British royal family. It seemed to involve Israel to some degree, it seemed to involve other European countries, even Russia, Saudi Arabia. So I think the reasons why people are so incessantly intrigued by this issue are perfectly explicable. I just think that they've been looking at it overwhelmingly from the wrong direction.
Oh, okay. I want to ask about that, but what has the mainstream media gotten wrong about this whole thing? Because that's where people are getting their information from.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, on this issue, it's sort of unique in my experience, having covered a whole variety of issues for over a decade as a member of the media, so to say, 15 years, I guess, more accurately. There's sort of a convergence between the misconceptions that are promoted by both the mainstream media, so like, you know, CNN, MSNBC, what have you, or MS Now, as it's called, and also the more alternative online podcast-oriented media. They both are, I would argue, mired in different delusions. So it's not as though you can go to some alternative media source for the most part and get an accurate correction to what the mainstream media is misleading you on this story, even though you can on other issues. Here's just one example of something that never gets covered in either the alternate or mainstream media,
Okay. Which
is that people have been very frustrated, as have I been, by what they regard as excessive redactions to these Epstein files that have been released starting in December with the first round and then January with the second round. And when they see page after page with block after block of full black redactions, they think to themselves, gee, this must be the government trying to cover something up or protecting some child sex trafficking perpetrator. Like that's the immediate assumption.
Yeah.
But what they don't understand is that for months, the lawyers who have become insanely wealthy on the basis of the representation of purported Epstein victims, those same lawyers have been arguing in federal court that the DOJ ought to be obliged to impose the most sweeping possible redactions essentially on these files, because they claim that there's this gigantic universe of purported victims who deserve to have any file that they wish redacted or even removed entirely at their command. And the DOJ had to deploy hundreds of lawyers who would otherwise be involved in entirely different tasks for something like 6 weeks or 2 months, going through meticulously every single file, and there were millions of them, and to redact stuff at the behest of these purported victims who haven't been adjudicated as victims ever in any kind of adversarial process, but in the overwhelming majority of cases, and also only have to self-declare, self-identify themselves as victims in order for the DOJ to then agree to redact or withhold materials on their behalf. So I've been saying, if people want to criticize the Trump administration for anything, or the Trump DOJ, criticize them for this irrationally lax redaction criteria that they've acceded to at the direction of these purported victims and their profit-seeking lawyers. So that's one issue that you haven't heard about that, have you?
No.
You haven't seen it on CNN or any of these dopey podcasts who are or social media people, right?
I have
not. So you don't get it anywhere on this issue.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is really amazing. There are conservatives who are turning on Trump, according to the surveys, about over this whole Epstein thing, connection. Should they be doing that? I mean, why are they doing that? Turning on him because of that? And they don't even know the truth.
You know, I don't think it's for me to necessarily tell what any particular conservative ought to do.
Right.
I would just say
why are they doing it? Why are they turning it? Not, I mean, if they want to turn, that's fine. But why are they doing that?
Well, I think one reason is that a lot of people in the right wing or conservative media were very reckless in how they discussed this issue for a number of years, including the current FBI director, Kash Patel, including the former deputy FBI director, Dan Bongino, who's now back to being a participant in conservative media, because they would push out these most outlandish theories around what the Jeffrey Epstein story supposedly signified to their audiences and get them primed to expect some kind of dramatic revelation once Trump got back in office after the 2024 election. Kash Patel famously went on the Benny Johnson show, who's like one of the top conservative podcasters, in late 2023 and told the then FBI director in the Biden administration, Christopher Wray, quote, "Put on your big boy pants and tell us who the pedophiles are," as though Christopher Wray had a list of pedophiles that he had sitting on his desk or in a vault somewhere and could have just released it at any time and informed us who all these satanic pedophiles were. And that was always a incredibly silly misconception of what the Epstein story signified, but that was being peddled out by these conservative influencers and media personalities. So then when those expectations collide with reality and Trump gets back in and he orders this, you know, review of sorts of the existing investigatory file, they have a very difficult time conveying to the public, including to their own base, what the reality was. And it wasn't helped by people like Pam Bondi, people like Kash Patel, Bongino, not being very competent in their communication. And even Trump himself, you know, kind of fumbling this in terms of just screaming out the word hoax and then thinking that people were not going to draw suspicious conclusions from that. Even if on some things, Trump has been correct. Like Trump has said, gee, I don't know if I want to put out all these files because there could be a lot of phony stuff in there and it could wrongly impugn lots of people.
Yeah.
Which that was correct. But when you kind of commingle that with him just saying stuff like hoax, it's going to make people suspicious if they don't have the requisite background knowledge to understand the true sort of nature and scope of what it is that we're talking about.
What made people, Michael, what made people hear about a story that, and they don't know the real truth at all? Because they weren't there, they don't know at all, but they're just hearing about it. What made them make a decision and then decide in some cases to take an action like they're turning against Trump and stuff like that? What made people make a conclusion to a story that they just hear about and they don't even know the detail, the real detail? Why do they make decisions?
You know, I think it's an unfortunate reality of our current information environment. So just for example, over the weekend, I was looking through some of the top shared TikTok videos over in the past month or 6 weeks having to do with the Epstein story. These things go insanely viral, millions upon millions of views. A lot of young people use TikTok in particular to gain their political knowledge at this point and learn about the world as they see it, which is probably not the greatest idea, but they do it,
right?
You know, whether we like it or not. And, you know, I just saw one video where it's this guy who's astoundingly popular on TikTok pulling up what seems like an official looking FBI document, right? So it seems like it must have some truth to it to the untrained eye. And he's reading out these most fantastical allegations about what he's saying is, like, you know, murder of infants and cannibalism and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, his followers on TikTok, I guess, attribute some degree of authority to this guy. And he's presenting this information as though it has any bearing on anything factual or reality based. And it's simply not. So what I've been saying is that there's been a huge quantity of ambient folklore that's been stirred up on this issue for many years. That's my coinage. You can use it if you want.
I will. I love it.
So, you know, people will just sit back and they'll watch a Netflix special on it, right? Or they'll listen to some YouTuber talk about it. They'll see a headline or a social media post, and they don't really take the time to do any sort of firsthand research or to look at the primary source material. And on some level, you have to understand that people have jobs and lives, and they're not crazy like me, where I have the ability and the wherewithal and like the job to do that. So on some level, you can't blame them. But where I do place a lot of blame is with the journalists, or the people who at least can purport to be in the media to one degree or another, who you would think have some degree of an obligation to be a bit more exacting in their standards, so then they can convey a more accurate understanding to the wider public. And they've really failed disastrously on that front.
That's amazing. We keep hearing that the victims were minors. Can you clarify the actual age range of the women?
Well, you know, one of the problems is we don't know how many victims there even allegedly are.
Right.
They've been saying since last July, right, when – I guess this is another stumble of the Trump administration. When they put out that now notorious memo on July 6th that was unsigned, but it was under the letterhead of the DOJ and FBI, where they on the one hand say, look, everybody – it turns out, you know, there's no quote unquote client list. There was no blackmail operation. There was no large scale child sex trafficking. There was no additional prominence like VIPs whom there's a predicate to charge with any crimes. But at the same time, they introduced this new claim, which was that there's over 1,000 victims who were harmed by Jeffrey Epstein. Now, when I first read that back in July, I thought to myself, huh, if they're saying that Jeffrey Epstein sexually abused or raped or trafficked over 1,000 victims, why wouldn't they just say that? Instead, they use this strange weasel wordage saying he victimized somehow over 1,000. This is, you know, huge number of alleged victims. And, you know, that's been repeated by politicians in both parties and in the media ad nauseum since July. And it turns out that number was basically phony based on, yes, new Epstein files that have come out. That number supposedly includes both purported victims, the majority of whom, based on everything that I've ascertained, would have been adults when they claim that they were victimized. But then that number, over 1,000, includes the alleged victims' family members. So I was asking, okay, does that mean that Jeffrey Epstein went around, you know, fondling their uncles or something? That doesn't even make any sense. So there are persons who were under the legal age of consent in Florida, where this whole thing started, who have alleged to be victims. And there was one person who was below the legal age of consent in Florida whom Epstein did plead guilty to having procured as a minor for prostitution. She was 17. Okay. So, you know, not to get too into the weeds here, but like if they had gone one state north to Georgia, you know, consensual sexual activity with that 17-year-old, whether you like it or not, would have been legal. And if you don't like it, feel free to petition the Georgia state legislature to change the law.
That's right.
The law is what it is. And so, you know, and there are other people who are under 18 who have made those allegations, but it's a very small minority of this total universe of alleged victims that we're constantly told exists. Some of the alleged victims are women who were women in their 20s who accepted like a luxury vacation to the U.S. Virgin Islands to hang out. And in some cases, like professional models who, you know, were not like poor trailer trash people who I got like manipulated into something, but were like relatively affluent models who were like on the covers of magazines and stuff. They accept an invitation to go to Epstein's Island, and then they don't say anything untoward ever happened for like 20 years. And then all of a sudden by 2023, JP Morgan opens up its checkbook. And there are, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars available for anybody who can claim any degree of victimization by Epstein ever. And their claims aren't really even really scrutinized or fact checked or analyzed at all by the media or the adjudicator or the administrators of those settlement programs. And then all of a sudden, you know, these women are now Epstein survivors, not even victims. They're now survivors, like they're Holocaust survivors or something. Like it's this great historic atrocity. So my problem is that is the conflation and the lack of distinctions that are ever drawn and the laziness with which the media portrays this stuff. And then that gets echoed out by social media and creates these very false conceptions of what went on here, such that just this past Saturday, there was a nationwide, they call it like an anti-pedophile march or mobilization across the country, where they have people saying, you know, they ate babies and, you know, the billionaires are eating babies and we have to, you know, the pedophiles are unpunished. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not like I'd be the first person to notify the authorities if I ever was told or had reason to believe that there was an actual pedophilic predator that was a danger to children. Okay. But that's not what we're really talking about here with the Jeffrey Epstein story.
Yeah.
And it's just so strange that so many people have been led to believe that this is the unadulterated truth and nobody actually ever gives them a corrective other than me.
And then they go out and repeat it as though they know the truth right. of it. They act like they had a real truth. And then followers hear that and they start repeating what they say. But let me ask, we all know that women are sluts. And men are slut makers, right?
I don't know if that's quite how I would characterize it, but if that's your view, you're more than welcome to it.
And so what I want to know, Michael, is why when women accuse men of sexual stuff or whatever, they always hide the women's faces, but they expose the men's faces, and they never show both sides. If they're going to show the men who have been accused, they should be showing the accuser too, but they have this disdain against men, and they love destroying men. But we all know that women lie, and they lie just like they'll make up a lie. They'll be crying and lying. When they cry, they're lying, right? And they'll be lying. We know that women lie, especially on men. Why don't, if they got to show the faces, why don't they show the women faces and the men faces? Why is it so one-sided? If they were doing that to women and not to the men, there'd be a big uproar about it. Why are they allowed to do that to the men but not to the women, knowing how easy it is for women to cry and lie?
Well, you know what, Jesse? I would love if you would direct that question to the Trump Department of Justice, because that's exactly the criteria that they've employed to impose redactions on these files. Yeah. They've said it explicitly. The Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, came out on a press conference January 30th and said, "We have presumptively redacted the facial imagery of every woman, with the exception of Ghislaine Maxwell, whether or not there was any even claim to victimization, much less whether they ever tried to investigate whether the claim to victimization was legitimate." So, I mean, I think that's a ridiculous standard. And meanwhile, every man has their face presumptively unredacted. So what happens when you see these photos coming out where the woman has her face presumptively blacked out, whether or not she ever even alleged that she was victimized by anything, and the man's got his face unredacted and they're like, you know, I don't know, at some function or they're posing for a photo or whatever. The instant thing that people assume must have happened is that the man in the photo victimized the woman. But that's totally fictitious. And, you know, that's just one factor that's caused what I'm now referring to as this mass hysteria and moral panic that has gotten so out of control that it's even dictating how people view the conflict in the Middle East right now. If you're on any social media platform, you'll see, you know, viral post after viral post, whether it's X, YouTube, Reddit, TikTok, Instagram, Rumble. They're all proclaiming this is a war for Epstein. This is the Epstein war. This is the Epstein regime, they sometimes claim. Donald Trump did this to protect pedophiles. Donald Trump did this to cover up his own child sex crimes. And look, I'm a critic of the war myself. I think it's a horrible idea. But like, I'm trying to be a rational critic, right? I'm not trying to be a critic in like the, you know, in some like Looney Tunes land who, you know, and this whole issue has bred such irrationality that I think it's actually really destructive on so many different fronts.
It is. I don't know who's guilty or not guilty in this whole situation, but I know it's wrong to show the men faces, but not the women faces. And do you agree with me that when she's crying, she's lying?
She meaning all womanhood?
Yes. When she's
you
crying,
know, I think that's a bit
lying.
Of an overgeneralization. But I think if anybody of any gender gets overly emotional, about something, that necessarily inhibits their capacity to reason. So when a man gets overly emotional, he might not cry as frequently as a woman, but I think, you know, he also can get pretty irrational if his emotions are guiding him rather than his reason.
Well, I am 100% sure that if there need to be any marches happening or stuff going on, something needs to be done to stop these people from showing the men faces, but not the accusers. They need to, and then a lot of this stuff will stop. If they show these women, whether they tell the truth or not, if they show their faces, I guarantee you a lot of this mess will end. But
and
these
you,
women
thing on that?
Know
another
that
thing
they're
going
to be hidden in the background, and they can say whatever they want to say about any men.
Well, I mean, another thing on that score is that none of the purported victims now in 2026 are children. Like, you could see an argument that if there were actual children victims of sex crimes, that they would be entitled to some degree of redaction to protect their identities, right? But the youngest any of these alleged victims can be nowadays is like in their mid-30s. And most of them, if not all of them, would not even have been children at the time that they were depicted in any of these files, meaning their images or photos taken of. And if they were children or like minors, let's say, then, you know, they wouldn't have been like 6 or 7 or, you know, 10 years old or something, like an actual, like school children. If like that, like when people say children, I always thought they're mostly referring to like elementary school age children. Now, any 17-year-old can be said to be a child when in normal everyday speech, like if you saw a group of 17-year-olds hanging out, you wouldn't say, oh, hello, children. You would say, I don't know, hello, high schools or schoolers or teenage, you know. But everything, again, on this story, everything gets conflated to propagate a particular narrative that is the most incendiary and that is the most geared toward convincing people around the world now. It's not just the United States.
Right.
You know, this is the big, huge scandal in Norway, Slovakia, you know, Great Britain, France, you name it. Yeah, but that, to convince them that this is fundamentally a pedophilia crisis. Now, if it was like a genuine pedophilia crisis, I would also be hysterical and outraged about it, because I actually do object when, you know, children are sexually preyed upon. And anybody does who's sane.
Right.
Like, that's just, you know, by and large, overwhelmingly, that's just not at issue here in this Epstein story, and yet it's been presented as such to stoke up the biggest possible furor, and it's having all these political ramifications where, like, anybody now who sent an email to Jeffrey Epstein in, like, 2013 has to lose their livelihood, has to put out this groveling apology, has to have their reputation destroyed. I mean, they're doing it to Noam Chomsky, who is a 97-year-old man who had a stroke and is debilitated and can't even respond for himself.
Wow.
And, you know, it's, you know, he's a left-wing scholar and very prominent. You could disagree with him on the merits on things, but to slime his reputation like this is despicable. And the same has also happened to people on the right. And, you know, I'm against all of it.
Yeah. Mike, I want to ask you about the war, but I got to ask this first. Well, I got to ask this in two questions about this thing, because I really don't care about it at all, to be honest. But why are men hated so much? All men, not just white men, black men, Jewish men, all men are hated, that there is no problem with destroying men. There's not like an outcry about it or anything. Why are men so hated that the world seems to be willing to destroy them, and they use women to do that? Why is that?
Well, you know, as it pertains to the Jeffrey Epstein story, when people talk about pedophiles, right, which is the most reviled group
in society.
I'm really
talking about, it's not just this story, but in most cases, probably all cases, when women get, they're married and they want to take the man's children, they can easily go to court and just lie on the man. Oh, he beat me, or he molested the child, and they say these things, and the world just say, yeah, that's true, destroy him. But they wouldn't do that to the women. Why do they hate men so much that they're so easy? They love destroying men. What is that about?
Yeah. My answer is going to pertain to the Epstein story, but it's going to be relevant to a broader theme.
Okay.
As you're sort of invoking here, which is that, you know, when you mention the word pedophile, right, which is considered to be the most reviled subgroup in society, and, like, you know, rightly so on some level, if somebody is actually sexually abusing like a 3-year-old, okay?
Right. Michael, hold that point. Let me take a quick break.
Okay.
I want to hold you over just to finish that, and then tell me why you're against the wall, and then I'll let you go.
Yep.
888-77-JESSE. A quick break. Back in a moment. check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/stores, and get Punchy's coffee. Folks, welcome back. 888-77-JESSE. I'm skipping over the commercials now. I want to go back to my guest. It's so interesting. Michael Tracy is with me. He's an American journalist and political commentator. Michael, before we get back into the subject, the discussion, tell the folks how to get to your website or whatever you want to promote.
Yeah. So it's mtracy.net. That's Tracy with an E. So mtracey.net. And it's the same on X/Twitter and YouTube and so forth.
And so you were responding to the question that I asked, why is it so easy to destroy men in the world?
So I think a reason for that thematically overlaps with the Epstein story in this sense. When you talk about pedophiles, right, which is rightly considered to be the most reviled subgroup in any population, if what we mean by pedophiles are people who actually do sexually abuse or molest or rape, actual children, like a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or something like that. You know, obviously everybody who is sane finds that wholly contemptible. But the men who, when we're talking about pedophilia, overwhelmingly the perpetrators of a pedophilic act are going to be men, right? So pedophilia almost goes hand in hand with something that depraved men would do. And when we're talking about sexual abuse overall, not just pedophilia, but sexual abuse in general, by and large, in the overwhelming majority of cases, the perpetrator of a genuinely sexually abusive act is going to be a man. So when we have these sexual hysterias about sexual abuse of one degree or another, real or imagined, the villains in that story are going to be men. And sex, matters of sex have always enticed and intrigued and, enthralled people since like the dawn of humanity.
Right.
And if there's ever somebody who's the wrongdoer in a sexual scenario, it's overwhelmingly going to be a man. So I think when we have these environments in which a sexual hysteria is so dominant, and obviously it's a huge, huge feature of the Epstein story, but you could name a million other examples. When people are pointing the finger at who's responsible, ultimately, it's going to be a man in like 99 out of 100 cases. So I think then people take that to mean that men are therefore worthy of disparate treatment in circumstances such as like a custody battle or something to do with a child support payment. I'm not an expert in, family law necessarily, but, right, there is a longstanding criticism of how those courts operate, where they're tilted against the man or the burden of proof is higher on the man. Because, I guess it would be the case that if somebody is going to be abusive between the man and the wife in a situation, it's probably by and large, especially physical abuse. Okay, maybe emotional abuse is different. But in terms of physical abuse, just by virtue of a man having superior strength to a woman biologically in the main, that's going to be the man who's probably going to be assumed responsible if we're just talking about averages. So I think that gives some insight into the question you asked me, but it's a big topic and I probably can't do it justice at the moment.
But the reality, Michael, because human nature is evil, is no good in human beings. Women are doing to young people what they're accusing the men are doing. We just don't hear about it. They don't report it. Most of the time, the guys don't report it, or they don't talk about it. And women have always been doing this, too, but no one talks about it. I counsel with men and women around the world, young and old. I cannot tell you the number of times when I've not had grown men tell me that when they were boys, their mothers would have sex with them, or their mothers would make them sleep with them over the father, or they would put the father out, or they would treat them in a sexual way. Their mother would do it to them. Or their babysitters, or sometimes their school teacher, female school teachers and their female babysitters. But it's just not talked about. And so it looked like it's just a man thing to do. But I promise you, in reality, and another thing, women are as physically abusive to men, if there is such a thing, as men are being accused to women, especially nowadays, because men have been told, don't defend yourself. Don't fight her back. If she hits you, don't hit her back. She is a woman. And so these women are gone nuts as beating up the husband. They smack them in the airport, anywhere, and get away with it. So women are as violent or even more violent than men. It's just not being talked about in both areas.
Yeah, you might be right about that. But in terms of, like, who can inflict the most damage just by virtue of biological strength, like, that's going to be the man.
But if she's right? brave enough to
the
hit
the woman
him,
might be able to, like, you know, flimsily slap you. But, like, if a man throws a haymaker, then he can do a lot more damage just given his muscle mass.
Right on. But if she's going to be brave enough to smack a guy, she already know he's stronger. He should smack him back, knock him down. I mean,
well, I'm not going to advocate domestic violence.
No,
I have enough.
I'm not either, but what I'm saying is it's called self-defense, right? If somebody going to hit you and hurt you physically, don't you have a right to protect yourself physically, no matter who?
What I tend to advise is if you're in a situation like that, I think it's most prudent to try to de-escalate rather than reciprocate and escalate the violence. And actually, that might be analogous to what's going on now in the Middle East.
I'm not encouraging that. I tell men to call the police when the wives are verbally abusive or physically abusive. Call the police, put them in jail, and throw the key away.
I mean, if you can't defuse a situation in your personal life or with your romantic partner without getting the police involved, then I think maybe you have some other problems.
Amazing. So one other quick thing about Epstein guy. I want to know from you, if you know, what is it about one man, Epstein, that was able to get all these people from around the world, according to the reports, into his life? And what was it about him that so many men and women are so interested in him that he had the power like that to... They act like Epstein had so much power that he made these people come go to his house. He made them have sex. He made them do what he wanted them to do. And so he had all this power. What is it about that one guy that has so much power over so many people around the world?
Well, first of all, he was incredibly wealthy. And if you have a lot of wealth, then you can hold functions at your lavish properties and invite lots of interesting people to them. And, you know, a bunch of them are probably going to show up. Whereas if you're dirt poor, they're probably not going to come out to your shack or to your one-bedroom apartment, right? So the wealth is obviously, I think, the main factor there. But he was also, I think, you know, a pretty charismatic, charming person. I think he definitely, once he made his fortune, he devoted himself mostly to, you know, philanthropic efforts, which is why he had relationships with a lot of academics who he was funding the projects of around issues like astronomy and physics and mathematics and so forth. So he had some, you know, intellectual or quasi-intellectual interests, but he was also into the arts. He was a philanthropic person given this massive wealth that he had accumulated. And, he was also somebody who definitely was just a consummate networker. Like, he loved forging these connections. And he did it all around the world. Like, he had a residence in, he had a posh luxury apartment in Paris that, you know, this former French minister, you know, I don't know if he visited that particular apartment, but like he ended up, he used that as like a launch pad to get involved with like European people. And it was the same in the United States. And he could give political contributions. You know, it's like what a lot of wealthy people do if they have the money, if they have like, you know, FU money is sort of like the online joke about it. You know, you don't have to care about like earning an income anymore because you've made so much money that it self generates.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that's the most salient factor there. And, you know, he was good looking, I think, you know. I'm a heterosexual guy, but I can acknowledge that. It was everything added up to just him being, I guess, like a person that people were gravitated towards.
Because they wanted something from him and he wanted something from them. So he is not to blame for what they have done, right? Because they wanted something from him, he wanted something from them, and both people came together, and that's what you get.
Yeah, but sometimes there's nothing even necessarily to blame the other person for. Like if you attended a little social soiree that he held at one of his properties, as he often did, and he invites, you know, Steve Bannon and Woody Allen and Noam Chomsky and like Ehud Barak or something, you know, to something, then people assume, oh, if they went to Epstein's townhouse for this little get together, that must have been something that was sexually sinister going on. But like, there's virtually no evidence of that.
Yeah.
It's just what people assume. So I don't even know what those people have to necessarily atone for, other than that there's this swirling mythology around this stuff where everything gets looked at through a certain, you know, condemnatory prism that is not really tied to any rational understanding of the facts and evidence.
What a mess. So this idea that this guy was controlled by Israel, that's not even true, huh? Or is it?
I mean, controlled by Israel? I mean, I think that would be a vast overstatement. He did have, if you want to say that, put it this way, ties to Israel, like Ehud Barak just mentioned. He was the former prime minister of Israel. Epstein did have a personal and business type relationship with the former prime minister of Israel. He also had he also had relationships with the current U.S. president and the former U.S. president, you know, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump. He also had connections with somebody who had to resign from the British government, who was formerly the U.K. ambassador to the United States, Peter Mandelson. So he had connections to the British government. A Norwegian diplomat just had to resign, and a former Norwegian prime minister reportedly attempted suicide just given their connection to Epstein. A minister in Slovakia had to resign. Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. He met Fidel Castro. He met the Pope. So, like, look, I understand that he did have, you know, certain dealings with people associated with the Israeli state. There's no doubt about it. But on the internet in particular, people get so myopically fixated on the Israel connections at the exclusion of everything else that I question, like, the rationality with which they're viewing this Israel connection that they want to spend day after day
That's
fixating
amazing.
On. Because the idea was that if he was running a honeypot blackmail operation at the direction of Israel, like that's the theory that I think people are most inflamed about and why it is that they want to emphasize the Israel connections. But there's just no evidence that there was a honeypot blackmail operation. They found, the FBI itself said in these new files that they found no evidence that he had any hidden cameras set up in any of his bedrooms or any other private areas in any of his houses. Now, you could say the Trump DOJ and FBI, they're just in on the cover-up, but okay, then you're never going to be satisfied because you're never going to accept any countervailing evidence at all.
How rich was he? Do you know?
When he was rearrested, when he was federally re-prosecuted and indicted and rearrested in July of 2019, his lawyers had to declare on his behalf what his assets were because he was trying to petition for bail, which he was denied. But they put his net worth at around $650 million. And I don't know how accurate that was, if it was all-inclusive, but it was in that ballpark.
That's amazing. So let me ask, because of time, are you for, I think you've already said it, but are you for or against what the Great White Hope is doing in Iran right now?
I do not support it.
You know
it.
Who
I
the Great White Hope is, right?
You know, I would infer that would refer to Donald J. Trump, our favorite president.
I rest my case. Some people call him amazing. What manner of man is this? The wind and the sea obeys him. Some people call him king, and they hold king rallies around the world. Some people call him daddy, but I call him the Great White Hope, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? Go ahead.
The Secretary General of NATO does, in fact, call him Daddy, which is a little creepy. I was at the NATO summit when he unveiled that nickname. And there are people, I guess, who refer to him as some kind of king, which is creepy in a different way. I think, you know, Trump does. I think I would say in the second term, my attitude toward Trump has shifted going back to the 2024 election, because he has this way about him now where he seems to be on this almost crusade where he thinks that he could just barrel through the world, overthrowing governments, abducting leaders like he did in Venezuela. Destroying now the whole country of Iran or the government and imposing a leader that he picks, because the Iranians aren't going to pick it. Donald J. Trump is going to pick it. He declared himself the ruler of Venezuela, the ruler of Gaza. He wants to seize Greenland. He wants to now seize Cuba, he says. He wants to seize Panama. I mean, when is this going to end? This is like, is he like Alexander the Great? Is he, is he on this just global conquest? Lindsey Graham, you should have seen him over the weekend. He couldn't have been more giddy, proclaiming how Trump was going to steamroll through Iran and he was going to go right to Cuba. It's just like, when, I don't remember in 2024 Trump saying that like his key campaign pledge was like to take over much of the world and seize the territory. People got the impression that he was going to not start any new wars, which I always said was foolish at the time, because that was not what he was pledging really, if you actually looked at the details, and that was not really what he did in his second term, even though it became this cheap talking point. So with Iran, I mean, what's the end state? What are they trying to achieve here? Are they just going to like keep bombing all the infrastructure of this country? Hegseth, the defense secretary, who now declares himself the war secretary, so I guess they were jonesing for a war. they said that today's going to be the most intense day of bombing yet. So what are they bombing? I mean, the joint U.S.-Israeli bombing campaign resulted in them blowing up this like oil production facility or oil field that's creating like chemical rain. It's just going to sicken people who live in Tehran or the vicinity for ages. And they don't articulate what the war is really intended to achieve as an end state, other than just vaguely repeating this mantra over and over again that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. They've totally discredited U.S. diplomacy by doing a fake pantomime of negotiations, both last June when they've before the first round of bombing, and then before this most recent round. And look, I mean, if you voted for Donald Trump thinking that it was going to put an end to, quote, regime change wars, as people like Tulsi Gabbard assured us, then you've been humiliated, because like this is the mother of all regime change wars that they've now declared. So no, I'm opposed to it. And I think at the minimum, there should be pressure placed on Trump and his administration to articulate more clearly what the costs of this potentially are going to be to the American taxpayer. They're spending billions of dollars a day, we're told, on dumping munitions in the Middle East when, I don't know, I'd like to see them actually, you know, rebuild some roads and bridges like they keep always saying they're going to do, instead of giving it to all these defense contractors / war profiteers who love Donald Trump so much and were convened at the White House so they can expedite their production of military industrial capacity. And they do that all subsidized by the taxpayer. So no, I'm against it on virtually every conceivable level.
And so, but the president said, and I don't know, but he said that he's stopping these people before they're able to build nuclear weapon and attack us. And it sounds like they have proof that they were in the process of doing that, because they see us as America as the big Satan, and they see Israel as the little Satan, and their mission is to conquer the world. And so the president gave the impression that he's doing this before we are attacked. Should he wait until we attack and do something, or should he do something prior to being attacked?
First of all, the idea that Iran even has the ability in any way to, quote, take over the world is laughable. They couldn't even take over their own region.
But not just Iran, but the whole Muslim religion thing is about conquering, because everybody else are infidels and not worthy of life.
So now we're at war with Iran, which is a Shiite Muslim country, on the basis of a general religious crusade against all Muslims. Iran and the Gulf Arab states, which are, you know, Sunni Muslim, they're currently in conflict. So there's conflict within the Muslim world, but we're now going to punish all Muslims by going after Iran and assassinating the supreme leader and so forth. That doesn't make any sense. And of course, yeah, they always try to play up this notion that there's an imminent threat that they had to preemptively strike in order to put a stop to. But I don't know. We've heard this ad nauseum. Do people forget WMDs in Iraq? They're now like repeating WMD-style talking points vis-a-vis Iran. There's no evidence that Iran was on the verge of somehow, you know, blowing up American cities with their nuclear weapons. I mean, this is all just hype. to justify this ideological program that Trump apparently barreled into office wanting to pursue, which was kind of like a global conquest, which makes this idea that Iran is going to conquer the world or Muslims are going to conquer the world all the more silly, because the only person on the planet who's actually doing that right now and has the power to do it to some degree anyway is Donald J. Trump. So if you're worried about world conquest, that's your guy to direct your complaints to.
I am neither for or against it, because I don't know. You're right. People just make up stuff, and they could just be making up this thing. Oh, we need to have this war. We need to do this. I don't know. So I'm neither for it or against it. But I do hope and believe that the president is doing, because I've never seen anyone put America first like this before in government. I haven't seen it. I'm not saying it never happened, but I just have never seen it. So I do appreciate the fact that the Great White Hope is putting America, doing his best to put America first in spite of all the opposition from America and around the world. I like the fact that he put America first.
Well, you know, it was a clever propaganda line for him to just trumpet this idea of America first and then have his sycophants and boosters trumpet it, because nobody could ever really define what that means. But when the common understanding of America first supposedly was that it was antithetical to overseas adventurism or overseas military conflict, because when you mention America first, you know, that was supposed to be sort of in tension with this idea that we would now be having 20-year-olds and 26-year-olds, as we have this week, coming back in body bags from Kuwait and Saudi Arabia because they got killed in an Iranian reprisal strike. And then Trump has to go greet their remains at Dover Air Force Base. Like, that wasn't America first in terms of how it was portrayed. But it was always a propagandistic talking point. It was always something that was infinitely malleable, that he could get the voters to think that he was going to come in and impose a program that actually devoted our wealth and resources nationally home rather than abroad. And, you know, he forgot to mention that he had these sort of crazed designs on some kind of worldwide imperial
conquest. Let me
conquest.
Say this to you, Michael, because of time, we've totally run out of time now. When I think of America first, I think shutting down the borders, stopping illegals from coming in, bring back jobs.
But on foreign policy.
So what?
But how about on foreign policy in particular?
I want him to protect us in that way, however that is. But when I think of America first, that's what I mean. Foreign policy, be good at that, whatever that means. And yet, put America first and make sure we're safe, make sure we have jobs, and make sure we can buy homes, make sure that the illegals can't come in across the border. But let me ask, Michael, because of time, there some people are saying that President Trump is dragged into this war by Israel, and that Israel is controlling the Great White Hope. Is that true?
I think that's hyperbolic and overstated. Okay. You know, Trump supporters say this, but I think it is true on some level, especially in the second term when he has more free reign than he did in the first term, and they structured the administration to kind of best channel his desires, whereas in the first term, he tended to be impeded a bit more. I think I was on your show talking about Russiagate in the first term, where he had elements within the government, the federal government, kind of conniving against him. That's not the case anymore, right? So he has basically control, as he sees fit, over the apparatus of state. And so he has pretty unlimited power, especially in the domain of foreign policy, where presidents always have the most unfettered power to pursue what it is he wants to pursue. So, yeah, the war is being waged in concert with Israel. I'm not saying that Israel wasn't a factor. I'm not saying that Benjamin Netanyahu, traveling constantly to the United States and huddling with Trump in Mar-a-Lago or wherever they huddle, and making a case to him about why attacking Iran would be in both Israeli and U.S. interests. I'm not saying that didn't have any impact on Trump. I'm just saying, I think first and foremost, if we want to assign a cause to this, the cause flows from Donald J. Trump, as evidenced by him doing what he did in Venezuela or Greenland or wherever. That's got nothing to do with Israel. That's the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
And I would say this Iran thing is a continuation of that, with Israel as sort of an adjunct.
Michael, your website?
mtracy.net, Tracy with an E.
Amazing discussion, man. Thank you, and I'll have you back again. I appreciate it.
All right, I enjoyed it. Take care.
All right, bye now. Back in a moment, folks. One more hour to go to your phone calls. 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
What a mess going on in this whole here world. Am I right or am I right? I'm right. This is the end of hour two already of Country and Western Tuesday. Hang tight, callers. Thank you for holding that whole hour there with Michael Tracy, Tracy with an E, as a guest on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show in that second hour. It is hake news, not fake news. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, you can catch the Hake Report, different from hake news. Sometimes it's fake news, actually. And then after the HakeReport.com, catch American Anchor Baby. Very nice. That's on YouTube and Rumble and Punchy.tv, PUNCHIE.tv. I was telling you in the end of the first hour about those ICE detentions of the young people that pulled on the heartstrings of the liberals. That 5-year-old Liam Ramos and the 14 and 12-year-old brother mariachi musician young men who were among families illegally here since 2023 in Brownsville, Texas. And Liam Ramos in, I guess that was Minneapolis, Minnesota. His image gripped the hearts of the world when he was detained in Minneapolis wearing a bunny hat. And was sent with his father to the same detention facility in Dilley, Texas. They were later released. Wow, what a mess. Iran's enriched uranium, recovering Iran's remaining highly enriched uranium stockpile, an objective of the Trump administration that they've been discussing, would require significant U.S. ground troops. Seven current and former officials familiar with the military planning, telling commie nonsense this, okay? That's CNN. The U.S. bombing campaign that struck 3 Iranian nuclear facilities last June did not destroy all the country's stockpile of the material needed to create a nuclear weapon. Trump has made a complete elimination of Iran's nuclear capability, one of his stated goals of the war. What a mess. And anyway, There's some serious mess going on in this here old world. The FBI obtained 2020 election records from Arizona's situation over there. Republican leader of Arizona's state Senate said Monday he has handed over records related to the 2020 presidential election to the FBI in the latest sign that the Trump administration is acting on the president's longstanding far-left extremist Associated Press, AP, says is falsehoods about a race that he supposedly lost to Democrat Joe Biden. Senate President Warren Peterson stated on a social media post he complied late last week with a federal grand jury subpoena for records related to the controversial audit, which means reasonable, audit of the election in Maricopa County. That had been ordered by legislative Republicans. It marks the second time this year that the FBI has obtained records related to the 2020 election shenanigans from the most populous county, I believe that's Maricopa County, right? In a presidential battleground state, both of which Trump supposedly lost as he sought re-election back in 2020. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays, Chris with a K, I wonder if that's a woman or a man, issued a scathing statement in response to Peterson's post, that Warren Peterson guy, noting that multiple audits, independent investigations, and legal challenges related to the 2020 presidential election supposedly found no evidence of widespread fraud that could have affected the outcome. So this person claimed. What a mess, huh? Some serious mess. Trump did say the war with Iran could be oil soon, but oil disruption would trigger harsher U.S. strikes. That strikes on Iran, right? Iran launched new attacks Tuesday at Gulf Arab states, according to AP, far left AP, as they kept up pressure in the Middle East in a war that has stunned global economies. U.S. President Trump sent differing signals on how it could go. They called it contradictory. I'm James Hake, JLP, Hour 3.
Understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, how is it that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around? How is that? The wife can make the man sleep on, oh, you sleeping on the couch. And he's like, oh, okay. And no, you go and sleep on the couch. You're the one mad, not me. What the? Why? How is that? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And you can, if you got to run around and do whatever you're doing, no matter what it is, you can podcast the show but still listen on your phone anywhere in the world by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. We're going to get to your super chats in a minute. And back to your calls, folks. I didn't know I could go that long with Mike, and he was so smart. I enjoyed it. Where was I? It's Tuesday. And every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday.
All my faults, well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time because the devil's been making holes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go, them to God, well, maybe you take this anger from my soul, and I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see, and I could lean on God so he could lean on me. Forgive, forgiveness, righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing. I love that song. What the? Pete, you outdone yourself this time, buddy. Amazing. Let me go to the busy phone. Chris is a first-time caller out of Michigan. Chris, you are on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan here, by the way.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
I have to tell you, I have a conglomeration. Before I ask you my question, I have a, you know, like a conglomeration of friends, and we listen to you. And I did grow up in Detroit. He white, but I grew up here.
He white!
So the group of friends that we listen to you pretty faithfully, we always will say, what the? Amazing! And he black, she black, or he dead. He did. So, anyway, thank you for that.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. So, you know, I'm going through at the end of a kind of painful divorce. And I got to tell you, this is actually pretty good news. I've been doing the silent prayer every day, and it's really helped. I have to tell you, I'm still learning to settle and just relax into the pain and let that inner war wage. And that's the really good part. But I notice I'm still holding on to it, and there's two things. So my question is, I notice I want replacement of her, and that's me loving Mama.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. So I'm kind of working on that as well. And the other thing is forgiving Mom. My mom passed away, and so my dad. And I've heard you talk about it at length. You know, I've been asking God to see, you know, the real me, to reveal who I am. And I don't know if I've seen it yet, because I could still hear a lot of, you know, a lot of my inner voices, you know, telling me things. So. I just didn't know if you could talk to that or kind of tell me, give me a little bit more pointers on forgiving someone who's passed. You know, I know the way through that is to see the real me. And as you have said before, and then also when the pain kind of crops up, is just relaxing into it and letting that war wage. Is that the right way to go? Because I have been feeling better.
So let me break it down. Let me ask first, how long you been married?
We were, married 18 years.
Oh, okay. You have children with her?
Three.
Are they adults now?
No, they're quite young, 12, 9, and 4.
Oh, okay. And when you feel pain about the breakup?
Yeah, a lot for my children because they're devastated, and it sort of hit me out of the blue. I was a cancer patient, and after I went through all of that, it seemed like she really changed. She got a new job. She kind of, and I'm not trying to blame it on her. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes, but nothing that couldn't be solved. But it sort of just hit me out of the blue, so it was very painful.
And so the pain that you feel, can you describe the pain? What does that feel like?
Yeah, it's sort of a worry, sort of anguish, sort of, you know, in the bottom of my stomach, in the pit of my stomach, yeah. Fear, I think, the unknown. I think it's wincing at being replaced, or she doesn't have anyone that I know of. I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter. But I think the feeling of, hey, this person, you know, you made a commitment with in front of God is gone. She's not even the same person anymore. So
right. So she wanted to divorce you, or you? Well, it's not like she wanted to. Nope. She wanted to divorce,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it started as we need counseling, and then, you know, so I said, well, okay, you know, and we went to counseling, and we were just kind of arguing and not really communicating much, and I know that's a big thing, but every time I tried, and just being honest, I'm not trying to put her down, but every time I tried, there was no reciprocity from her. Yeah. Like, if I said, hey, let's try and talk this out, you know, no, and she became sort of a, you know, and I feel that, she tried to make me a beta male, and I'm not. And I was just like, look, I'm not going to chase you. This is the way it's going to go. This is the way it's going to go. I, you know. So there's some conflict there, too. Does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely. When you say you feel the pain, who are you talking about?
Well, that's a good question. I'd like to think that maybe the observer is feeling the pain, you know, the observer in me, and not really me. But I don't know. I mean, you know, but it's. I noticed that when I do relax into it and just say, okay, it's happening, let's let this, you know, I have to go back to that because this is something I've really keyed in on, that it goes away. And then it returns. So, I hope that makes sense, too, in my answer.
It does. But who, when you said, I feel the pain, who are you referring to?
Yeah, I would say my earthly body is feeling the pain.
And are you your body?
No.
Why do you call it you, then?
Yeah, that's true.
No, that was a question.
Why am I calling you that? Because I'm still identifying with it, I guess.
And why are you identified with a body? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you identified with a body and call it a body you?
Yeah, maybe because if I'm going to answer that question, because I haven't learned how to truly separate me from my thoughts and my body.
And at first you said the observer is feeling the pain. Who is the observer that's feeling the pain?
Well, yeah, what I meant by that is, like, I can, especially when I'm doing the silent prayer and I observe thoughts, I almost instantly feel a separation from that pain, if that makes sense.
But there is no pain in observing.
Right.
The pain
right.
is in not seeing.
But when okay, you maybe see, I got that.
When you can see, then there is no pain. You're free of all pains, all tears, all worry, all everything. You're free of the world. So the observer is not feeling pain if you are observing.
And maybe I got that backwards, Jesse. Maybe I didn't mean to say it that way. Maybe I meant to say, you know, my thoughts, this being, and, you know, I'm not the observer, but the person who's not the observer.
Right.
The part of me that's not the observer.
And so,
is what I meant.
So now we know you're not your body. Who is feeling the pain?
Yeah, the body is.
But we know you're not the body, though.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so why are you calling, and I'll repeat myself here, but why are you calling the body you?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that might be something that I need help with because I'm probably still not completely 100% committed to me not being my thoughts then.
And then the pain is in the body, right?
Correct.
And are you the pain?
No.
So why do you call the pain you?
Well, I think I'm realizing now when I say no, rather than me actually just saying no, so you're correct. No, meaning that I can just see that the earthly body is feeling the pain and I shouldn't feel anything as the observer, knowing that I'm not my thoughts.
And the thoughts are telling you, oh, she's gone. What about the children? And you're believing
Correct.
The thoughts. Why are you your thoughts?
No.
Why are you believing thoughts then? Why are you calling them your thoughts?
Well, and because I'm still believing the lie. I'm not disregarding every thought.
And why not?
I think it's conditioning.
It is.
Partly.
Yeah.
I think it's conditioning and getting over it. But maybe that's why I'm having
these. It's habits and conditioning. Yeah, right.
It's habits and conditioning. So I just need to keep working that way. And,
yes.
You know, and I'm also thinking of, if I can just add this really quickly, I don't want to take all your time, but, you know, she's very mean and cold through this. Almost evil, like, you know, and the betrayal and that kind of thing, you know, really hurt me and how or really hurt, you know, my body, I should say. I'm trying to reframe myself, so thank you. And I don't really want to speak to her other than on a visceral level, you know what I mean? Because I heard you say when people say, for example, you've said, hey, my mother called or something when someone's, you know, being like, don't go over there. Or if she wants me to come over, don't.
Right.
And that's kind of how I want to treat my wife. Is that the correct, my ex-wife to be, is that the correct way for me to go about this?
Yeah, don't hate her. She cannot see. And all men marry the devil. That's why the marriage don't work. And then the two devils fight. But what you've done wrong, too, is you made the woman your God. And that's why the ego is missing its false God. Because you made her your God, and you made her your God because you have not forgiven your mother. And all men hate their mothers. All men hate their mothers. And as a result of hating, you become attracted to what you hate. So you're not going to marry your physical mama, but you're attracted to the same spirit that's in your mama.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not
mm-hmm.
going to change until you forgive your mother. And then God would take her spirit away from your mind and emotions. Because any man that has anger is a woman. He has a woman mind. And he's vicious like a woman. He's nasty like a woman. He conceited like a woman. He's just like the female because he has the spirit of the woman, which is the spirit of evil. It's not her, but the spirit of evil that made a home in her. So you got to forgive your mother. And since she has expired, realize what she did to you. She could not help it. She had no love. Her mother screwed her up, and so she couldn't help it. And when you forgive her by realizing that she was wrong, but she couldn't help it, God will forgive you. He will change your whole nature. He will open up your, he will change your heart from anger to love, and you will make God your God instead of anybody or anything on the planet. I promise you that. And so when
Amazing.
When she leaves, you wouldn't care. If she wanted to leave, she wanted a divorce, like, oh, okay, see you later. Been fun. But you would not miss her. You wouldn't feel anything about it. You wouldn't think anything about it. You would just wish her well. And you'll be fine because your love, your life is coming from God and not from another person.
I'm starting, and honestly, I really do mean this, from what you've just said and how you've encapsulated it, I'm starting to feel that way. I'm starting to let go the more I do the silent prayer. And it was amazing because you had said that once you kind of keep doing it and keep revisiting that and connecting with God, you know, coming back to God,
that's
exactly what I've been feeling. And I really do mean that. It's not just placation.
No, I believe you. I can tell you. You're right. But
and then I think the last thing is, and then I'll let you go, is just that, you know, the letting go of wanting to replace her. That's the other part that I'm struggling with, and not in a bad way. Like, I'm getting more comfortable with being alone. Does that kind of manifest more, just keeping up the silent prayer and forgiving my mother and realizing she couldn't help it?
Yeah. Okay. You will, because this idea you want to place her with another guy is just a thought. And that thought made a home in your mind and the emotions of the body, but it's not you. And the thought want to live in you, which is evil, spirit of evil. They want to live in you because they live in human beings, in the mind and emotions of human beings. And they don't want to depart from you. So they want you to say, oh, get you another one. You'll feel better. The next one will work. That's a lie. You just have more problem. And they want you to do that so they can stay inside of you. They need you to be emotional. They need you to overreact. And that way they don't have to depart from you. But when you stop being emotional, when you stop overreacting, they have to depart from you. And you will have a free mind. And you will never get angry. You would never be a victim. You would never blame anyone for anything because you'll be living from within. You'll be fine, and you'll have an amazing life.
Okay, I appreciate that. And to that, will there be a space for a relationship for other people going through this, or is it just something we just don't worry about and it just happens?
You should only want what's right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right way. Follow him, pick up your cross, your ego, and follow Christ, and then love your enemy, your neighbor, as yourself, meaning don't hate anyone. Don't be angry.
All right.
You can speak up when you need to, but don't be angry, and life will happen for you. Don't be thinking about, well, will I ever get another wife, or will I ever get this? You're still into thoughts, and you're putting the ego over what's right. So don't even think about that at all. You seek what's right. You live in the light with God, and you'll be fine.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm going to check back in with you if that's okay.
Absolutely. Make sure you do, and stay with it. So when the thoughts come about this wife that's gone, let it pass because it's just a thought. But if you don't catch it, you're going to feel emotional about it. Oh, I miss her. Oh, what about the children? Those are just emotions which are not natural. So let them pass. You'll be fine. I promise you.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you do. And now I just got to keep my boys from turning against me.
Well, you're not going to be able to stop that. Well, don't worry about that. If you work on you, let God's will be done, right? But this woman has already turned them against you.
Yeah.
You could bake us. You were doing that while you were sleeping.
Yeah. What the?
You were doing that while you were trying to get mama's love.
Yeah, yeah, understood. Yeah. Understood. Well, this is great. I mean, I really appreciate it, and thank you so much.
All right, buddy. I wish you well.
Okay. I'll talk to you again.
Okay, yeah. Call me again anytime you like.
All right. Thank you very much. God bless.
You too, buddy. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Nicholas, a first-time call out of Los Angeles. Nicholas, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hey, Nicholas.
Hi, Jesse. Well, I'm calling to just talk to you, and I prepared some questions. I want to see. I want to answer your biblical question.
How is it that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around?
Well, according to Orthodox, well, we all have to follow Christ, right? So what it says is when God brings a union together, let's man and woman. First of all, Jesus says if you can't get married, then control yourself, do that. That's the way. But if you want to get married, only one wife. So no divorce and nothing. So that's why in Orthodoxy, you have no divorce in the religion. So that's why marriage that's united. That's what God wants, right? That's why they go to the church. That's why they wear a white dress as a, you know, no sex before marriage or whatever, right? So that's a communion. That's a union God brings. So what happened when they go to the couch, it's, well, obviously man is always the protector, right? They always, I don't know how to say.
But he's not a protester if she can make him go to the couch. She's controlling him.
Well, first of all, in my opinion, they have to solve everything in bed, right? Don't they sleep next to each other in bed? Isn't that their responsibility and role?
If they want to make a baby, yeah.
No, I mean, in general, I mean, don't they talk to each other? What do they do before sleep? Well, don't they solve the problem? Well, if the man is beta, then it goes to the couch and sleep in there, right?
Well, I can't respond to the – I want to, but I can't respond to the biblical question. I got to
– challenge me on something. I feel like I can co-host the show, and I've been looking for you for a long time to God.
But let me – Let me just say this then. I can't respond to the biblical question. I'll wait until Sunday, and I appreciate you responding. But let me ask, have you heard me say, go and forgive your mother?
Yes, I've heard. And, many times, the problem I have with that, let's say, you know, when you say anger is righteousness, shouldn't be anger, or Jesus never was angry, and they say, oh, he flipped the table, so he was angry. Well, there has to be, that's a reaction, right? Reactionary. When someone does something or someone makes you mad and stuff, you can get mad. You have the right, but you don't have the right according to Jesus.
No, Nicholas,
to react,
Jesus
right?
was never angry. They made that up.
Yeah, Jesus was never angry. Yeah, that's a made up. That's a total.
But did you go
righteous
and forgive your mother?
Is wrong. Well, I forgave my mother, well,
did you tell
many
her?
Times. I tell her, but that's not the thing, you know. Forgiving is not upon us. It's God who forgives, right? It's God who we face.
Right, but so that's why you have to apologize for resenting her. You are wrong for judging her. You're playing God. And when you admit you're wrong, then God will forgive you.
That's correct. And I forgive them.
Did you do that with your mama?
Yeah, many times.
Why
I talked
so
to my
many
mom.
Times?
That
why so many
my
times?
Friend.
Why you went to her so many times?
Why I go through so many times? Because they don't understand. The sibling don't understand. Mom doesn't understand.
But they do understand. She just won't admit that she's wrong. And that's fine. Leave her to her hell.
That's fine. Yeah, it's me. It's on me. And I have nothing. Well, instead of like...
So why you keep apologizing so many times, Nicholas?
No.
Why you apologize so many times to her?
Well, it's not. I never apologized so many times. I never apologized, actually. I might
say
sorry.
Oh, I thought you said
you
did.
Yeah.
Let's slow down.
Let's slow down. Yeah. Okay, you go ahead.
Did you go to your mother and forgive her for screwing up your life?
Yes.
But you just said you didn't.
I did it many times, like as an anger, as a kid. Oh, why is this that? Why is that? But as I grew up and I found God and I know God, that's how I handle it, instead of like fleeing.
Nicholas,
or
give me a clear yes or no, because of time and there's so many people waiting. Did you go to your mother and forgive her as an adult? Did you go to your mother and say you were sorry for resenting her?
Yes.
And what did she say?
Well, she doesn't understand. She's like, eh, or whatever, or let's go out, do something. That's it.
Really? And so you forgave her. Are you done with her now?
She's done nothing to me that I forgive her, even her bads or goods. Of course, it's forgiven.
But I thought you said you did forgive her.
Well, you know when you say resentment, resenting, that's why I'm going to. I have a problem with that, translating that word. And you go and say, okay, go forgive your mama, go forgive your dad. Give the finger to siblings, for example, when they do something, it's not up to you. It's all God, right?
Are you still controlled by your mama?
No.
And so
never.
Do you avoid her now?
Do I what?
Avoid, you stay away from her.
I can stay away from her. Well,
do you stay away from her?
Yeah, as much as I try. Well, they try to force it upon me, and well, I love my mom. She did a lot for me. I can't.
No, you don't love your mama.
Well, if you wanna go biblically, we all, there is no mama, there is no brother. Jesus said,
Nicholas. Does she still control you?
No.
And so why don't you stay away from her then?
That's the difference between affecting.
Why don't
the
you
word
stay me away from her?
Well, I want to give my mom the best. Like I give everyone.
Why?
I treat everybody
the same.
You don't
owe your mama anything. Why you want to give her the best?
The best I could, not the best that she deserved. The best I could as a son.
What do you mean by the best?
Well, isn't God over Jesus? Jesus over
what do you mean
Father
by you want to give your mama the best?
The best I could. Like she did a lot. She did a lot for us. It was her responsibility to raise her up. Right.
You don't owe her anything. She was.
But that's an appreciation that I at least. So how can I be in presence of God when I didn't appreciate my mom?
By not hating her, forgive her,
I'm
and then
not
you'll be with God.
I love my mom.
No, you
I
don't.
Love my mom. So biblically, we love everybody. When they come to Jesus and said, okay, your brother, sister, your mom waiting. What are you doing here? He said what? They are all my brother.
Nicholas,
and so,
I don't understand what you're saying. Because of time, call me on Thursday on the Bible Thump on Thursday.
Okay. It's so nice to talk to you, Jesse. I love you so much. You come to me.
Are you in you live in L.A.?
I live in Pasadena. I've been trying to work with you.
Yeah, come down to the men's forum or Sunday morning fellowship or both.
You are the best. I will. You are the best. I have a lot of information. I can help you.
Okay.
A lot.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you, Jess. You are the best.
All right, buddy.
You are the best. Bye-bye.
Super.
Super chats.
Nice. Over on X live stream yesterday, answering the biblical question, MG, why? How is it that a man?
Why is it that? How is it that a man, that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around?
MG says because a man can take discomfort in stride and accepts the situation.
I want to respond, but I got to hold it. Thank you, MG. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
John D. with very generous Jesse Lee Peterson support over on Cash App.
Thank you, John D. I appreciate it.
That's
Thank you.
Bond JLP on Cash App.
Thank you.
Gregatron says, Jesse. Didn't Jerome say he lost all respect for you? If these people don't respect you, then why are they still calling you? I'll tell you why. Because they love you. They just can't get enough of the great black hope.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Don't know what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Taking care of T-C-B. Thank you. I appreciate it. You remember that song?
Yes, of course.
You Nick. Nice.
Yep. Julie from Connecticut, Eric's wife. Last night as I got home about 10:30, there was a woman I thought I knew in the arms of another man. I kept my cool. I ain't no fool. Let me tell you what happened then. I packed some clothes and I walked out. I ain't going back again. So take a letter, Maria, address it to my wife. Say I won't be coming home. Gotta start a new life. Oh, take a letter. Gotta start a new life. Send a copy to my lawyer.
Amazing.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie. That's amazing. I love that song, by the way.
Nice.
Thank you. I gotta take a break. Quick break. Back in a moment to your phone call. And more super chat. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that, out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Okay, folks, welcome back to Treasure Chest. It's now open on DLive and Scratch Off on Pules.net. Amazing, I forgot. I've been so busy this morning. What the? The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com. And after the Hake Report at 11, the American Anchor Baby from 11 to 1. And then like the videos. Make sure you check out the anchor, baby. He's been on fire, flying high lately. What the? Not on pot, but on natural energy from God. Like the video, and thank you all for your support, helping us to help others. Let me go quickly to Ronnie. He's been waiting a while there out of Florida, a first-time caller out of Florida. Ronnie, you are on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
Hey, Ronnie.
How's it going?
All is well.
Yes, sir. Every day.
That's right.
I had a comment real quick about Michael, the talker you had, the speaker.
Michael Tracy?
Yes, sir.
Michael Tracy was in the second hour, folks. You can podcast. It was amazing. Check him out. Michael Tracy. Go ahead.
I see how he's a perfect example on how knowledge and, you know, being smart and all that can get in the way of seeing the truth. Because he's pretty smart. The guy's pretty smart.
Yeah,
but,
he is.
He's not able to see the truth on how men are being actively attacked everywhere by all races and, you know, all that. That's just a comment I had before I started.
And you're right about that. It's amazing the attack upon men, all races, and no one seemed to care. Oh, okay. It's the man's fault. Hide the woman's face while she play victim or be an accuser. Hide her face. You know she's going to get away with it. What a mess. It's evil. Because
I remember
being a sons of
sorry,
God.
Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I remember growing up, some of my aunts and stuff, I was a little kid. And in a playful way, they used to just go and try to grab your private parts and tell you, oh, you're getting so big. In a playful way that if a man did it, it'll be over for him.
Sure would. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the number of times that I've counseled with men, almost all the time, a lot. And they talk about how their mother made them her husband. she have them sleep with them and hold them a certain way in bed and all kind of stuff, man. The babysitter and all that mess. But it's all no talk. It's all about the man and never about the woman. A mess.
Yep. Another comment that I was going to ask is on how religion has turned Jesus into God. And they have not received the message that he came to give into like returning to the Father. They have turned Jesus into the Father.
Yeah, he came as a teacher, and he came to point us back to the Father, let us know how to get back. We're free. We can go home now. And instead of hearing the message, they turned Jesus into a God. And because they have done that, they will never know God because they made Jesus God. And Jesus, hey, no, I'm the messenger. I brought you a message. Your sins have been forgiven. You are free to return home. But they listened to religion, and religion was set up to just, religion is just like the government. It's set up to control you for power and wealth, and the people don't know it. They don't believe it. They don't even know they have a teacher inside. They think they need someone to teach them about God instead of pointing the way where to find God within.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's why I'm so thankful that you got your message got put into my life, and you made me look towards my own father. Because I've gone to church and stuff, like as a kid. My parents used to take me to church. And every time I used to go to church, I remember just seeing people raising their hands, crying, closing their eyes. But they were suffering. They left church and then they were suffering.
They would go home and they would cry.
Yep. And as a kid, I never understood that. You know, I knew about God, but I never actually met him or actually known him, you know?
Yeah.
I just knew stuff about him.
Yep.
And then once I heard your message on forgiving my mom and dad, it clicked. Like, something in my head just clicked. And I was like, if it's just that, I'm just going to do it. And then during that point, they were going through a divorce. So it was months, and I've never seen them together for months. And then one day he just showed up to my house because he needed to do something with his car, and I gave him the tools and stuff. And then my mom showed up out of nowhere to bring him food. And it was not planned or anything. And in that moment, I just told myself, I'm going to do it because I'm never going to get the chance to do it with both of them together. And then I did it, shaking in my boots, like you say, trembling. It's insane how scared I was. I'm a 6'3", 230-pound guy.
Wow!
And I'm over here shaking, talking to my parents.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I've talked to military men who have been in Iraq war and a different war, and they're afraid of their mama. They were like, "Wow, yep. I couldn't believe it. I fought wars. I killed people in wars, and I'm scared of my own mama." I was like, "What the?" But it's the spirit, not the body.
Yes, sir. And as soon as I did it, the relief I felt, and my mom made a comment about how, "Oh, he's just doing it because he's emotional." I did not even comment back on it. You know, I just received whatever they said. And then it's amazing how they look at it that way, but the good thing about the truth is that it's never going to change. And that's what I love about it, because no matter how anybody feels, on no matter what happens in the world, the truth will never change.
That's right.
Ever.
Absolutely, man. Wow, Ronnie, you stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. You haven't seen anything yet. If you stay with it, I promise you, you're going to live from within the kingdom of heaven within you while living on earth, and you're going to have an amazing life. And it's just going to happen by itself. Your life is already planned out. It's already done. And you'll get up and go to work. You'll have a roof over your head and all that. But you will have an amazing life because you're living from within.
Yes, that's amazing. And I wanted to also answer the biblical question.
How is it that a wife can make her husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around?
Beta. That's why. But. But. It's incredible on how, and like I said in the beginning, how men are being attacked. And then through generations, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
So that's what we're seeing now. Because I remember my grandparents. My grandma used to respect my grandpa, like, till the end of the world. She would not talk bad about him to me or my brothers or anything. Even though they had problems on their own, I never heard anything as a kid about them.
Right on.
And then what I'm seeing is that through generations, it's just getting worse. And,
yep. It
but
is,
at least
man.
Some people are waking up. Yeah,
but
at least some people are waking up.
No matter what happens yep. out there to other people, you'll be fine. Ronnie, I got to run because I'm tired. Call me again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, all right?
And stay with it. You're welcome. And stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
All right. Have a blessed one.
You too, buddy. Let's see here. Let me go to Steve out of Illinois. Steve, you are on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Jesse. I talked to you yesterday.
Hey, Steve.
And, that was an amazing conversation you had with Michael Tracy.
Yeah, it was.
Earlier. And I want to say yesterday we were talking about judgment, and I can see where his error comes in. And that's because he already made a judgment rather than waiting and seeing. He's already judged that it's wrong to go bomb, 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 bomb Iran.
Bomb, bomb. Ooh.
Yeah. You got me rocking and a rolling, rocking and a reeling in the rubble of Iran.
Yeah.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
What a mess.
That's a country western song. I don't know if it's country or if it's western to bomb a country. What do you think?
I don't. I can't remember. Was it country or western?
Barbara Ann is. That's yeah. Beach Boys. That's surf rock, right?
Oh yeah, the Beach Boys.
But I think I made it into a country song.
There you go.
It sounded weird.
Well, this morning
I'm having a wait and see about the one thing because. I don't have inside scoop. I just have to take the president at his word for right now. So I'm just waiting to see. And I don't know. I know that whenever he does something, it always, so far, things have always turned out to be well.
Yeah. Some people, they call him King, and some people, they call him Daddy. But I think I'm going to call him Papa because, like that James Brown song, Papa don't take no mess.
That's for sure. Oh,
you remember that song?
I do. Absolutely.
You do? Papa don't take no mess.
Yeah, I remember that. Steve, I got to run because of time, man, but you're absolutely right. It's best to have a wait and see. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, there was one thing this morning that Keir Starmer offered help to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump turned him down. Did you guys hear about that?
No. Who is Keir Starmer?
UK.
The Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He offered him help. And they won't wait and see. And you know what he said? He said, we don't need people to join the war after we've won. Can you believe he told that?
That's all that the great white hope. That's right.
Yeah, the war's already won. He said, what kind of people call you when the war's already been fought and it's done, and now they want to share in the glory of it?
Beta people.
I guess he wants to get that Nobel Peace Prize for himself, Keir Starmer.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate
all
it.
All right. Man. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too now. 888-77-JESSE. So Barbara Ann is a song written by Fred
Fassert.
That was first recorded by an American doo-wop vocal group by the name of Regent. That's according to Wikipedia. Super, super.
Super chat.
Super chat.
Chill and lean, answering the biblical question.
Why? How is it that a wife can make a husband sleep on the couch instead of the other way around.
Because wife worship culture has spread like wildfire since, quote unquote, feminism emerged.
Amazing.
Facts. Kevin
Thank
S.
Thank you. I put my two cents in. Amazing, though.
Kevin S., very generous on Cash App, tithing.
Thank you, Kevin. Amazing. I appreciate it.
Jig, jig, jig. No message.
Thank you, jig, jig, jig.
Nick Monty, yeehaw, JLP and crew.
Country and Western Tuesday. Thank you.
Jesse W., I love the show, Jesse. Been watching for a month.
Right on. Thank you. Appreciate
80 HD. Wow, Jesse, that shirt is amazing.
The punchy shirt. Hassan made the shirt. Well, he made the design of it and all that. Hassan. Thank you, Hassan. Amazing. Thank you.
Nice. Roy M., it's Country and Western Tuesday.
Ha! Thank you.
Anthony L., cool sunglasses stickers.
Thank you, Anthony L.
23B Rad, Jesse, thanks for the truth. I listen to you every day. Bambi eyes with tears welling up in a smile emoji.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Amazing.
Or maybe they're just blue eyes. Jesse W., how do I forgive my mother if she passed?
By getting to know yourself, paying attention to how you're being controlled by your thoughts and emotions and the things you have done and you wish you had not or couldn't help yourself, she had the same thing going on. You became like her. She couldn't help it. And so knowing that you can't help yourself will cause you to realize she could not help herself, then you can forgive her. You will naturally let it go. Amazing. Know thyself. Since she's dead, she dead. And just realize she couldn't help it. You'll be fine.
Robert, drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. It's Country and Western Wednesday down under. Here now, down under.
Oh, yes, yeah, already Wednesday in Australia. And who's that from?
Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Amazing.
Alicia, nice shirt, JLP.
Thank you, Alicia. I appreciate it.
And Lori. Biblical question answer.
How is it that a wife can make her husband sleep on the couch when instead of the other way around?
Evil hates the man, so he shall be banished to the couch. The man is weak, so he goes to the couch.
Interesting. Interesting. I almost want to respond so badly, but I got to wait. Thank you.
Cora, I believe.
Hey, Cora.
Different Cora, probably. When I go and forgive my father, do I have to feel like I mean it? I want to forgive him before I get married. What saith you, Jesse?
No, you don't have to feel like you mean it. There's no feeling of mean it. You want to see that you're wrong for being angry at him, for judging him, playing God. So when you see that you're wrong for being angry, that's all you need. And then you apologize for judging, for being angry, and you'll be fine. I wish you well with that, all right? Amazing.
Shout out, Cora.
Yeah.
Lee McF, no message.
Thank you, Lee.
Brian R., welcome JLP show member.
Thank you, Brian R., I appreciate it.
Over on Anthony L. with a big wide-eyed sticker. Shock.
Thank you, Anthony L., amazing.
Big Blue Raspberries show member, nice.
Thank you, Big Blue Raspberry. I appreciate it.
Patient Riot Cross. Pray for the left.
And the right.
Yeah.
Believe me, both sides need prayer. Yeah, well, they need a prayer. They need them now. Thank you.
Joey Joe. Hey, Jesse, can you have one of your producers look up so-and-so? Nice guest tip.
Okay, we'll check it out. Thank you.
Love you
and
guys.
And send guests. Appreciate that. Recommendations to producer at the Jesse Lee Peterson Show.com, right? Jesse Lee Peterson dot.
Producer at jesseleepeterson.com.
Yeah, producer at jesseleepeterson.com.
Isaiah W., good morning. I love our fellowship. Thank you.
Thank you. Amazing.
Shout out to the top contributors on the DLive crew. Games for Rec, Kid Combo 1, Groovy Monkey, and the rest. You know who you are.
Thank you. Shout out.
Homesteader Nick on Rumble. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
And thank you, guys. We could be mistaken. Let me just double check. That's all for now, I do believe.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing. Let me go to Julie. Julia out of Virginia. Julia, you are on the air.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
All is well, Julia.
Very good. I'm calling. I just want to say first, before I go any further, that you have changed my life, my and my husband's, and I can't thank you enough for that. First of all, I used to be an atheist, but definitely not now. And thank you.
You stay with us. Stay with us. Stay with it. You haven't seen anything yet, Julia. It gets better.
Thank you. That's hopeful.
Right.
Well, I was calling today with a more like personal thing.
All right.
My husband and I have been having some issues, and I'm completely willing to accept like it's all my fault, like 100%. I just want to kind of get your opinion if I'm looking at things crooked or where I'm going wrong.
Okay.
Basically here. So what will happen is we attend church and stuff. We've listened to the show for many years. And so we're familiar with anger and that we're spirits and it's not ourselves and things like that. What we'll find ourselves in is we'll get in like a debate about something that's just kind of silly. It doesn't really have any kind of bearing on our life. It could be politics or, I don't know, like religion, TV show, like anything. Like it's just like a debate about it, but it could turn into an argument where we start to get a little heated.
Right.
And I know that in those moments, I feel like we're just supposed to step away and just not continue engaging at that time. And then what will happen is I admit that I have a trouble walking away sometimes. I might not like back down and then not maybe realize that I'm mad, or not necessarily. I don't think I'm normally mad at my husband. I'm just like riled up. but I don't know how to like end the fight when it turns into something like that. The only thing that has been happening, let me say this, is that I don't try not to judge my husband. I know it's not him. And I just like, I know it's not me, but the heat happens. And a lot of the times I find that I may have to concede whatever point he was trying to make, even if I don't believe that is true. So I feel like sometimes I might be in a case where I feel like I have to lie to solve the fight or end it and just say, I was wrong completely. You're right about whatever is going on. And then that sometimes will end the fight and everything will go back to kind of normal and calm down.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to do in those situations because it feels uncomfortable. I'm struggling with agency as a wife and what it means to really obey. Is it like, do you do exactly what they say to the letter? Like if he says to be quiet, you don't talk. Like I'm just struggling with what to do, and I don't want to lie. But for instance, sometimes he'll say my apologies aren't genuine enough. Like he won't believe me, even if I am being genuine, and I don't know what to do about that.
Well, here's what I recommend because of time. Number one, the next time you get into an argument with him, when you catch yourself arguing out of anger, just stop. Mm-hmm. Just stop the argument. Just don't argue. Just stop it.
Okay.
And you don't have to explain why you stop it. Just stop arguing. It shocks the devil when you do that, when you just stop. All right? Mm-hmm. And the devil going to want you to continue. He's going to say, oh, now you look weak. Now this and now that. Right? But don't pay attention to that. But you shock the devil by stopping. And then when you apologize to your husband, don't try to prove anything. You don't have to prove anything to anyone about anything. Never do that again. And then the last thing is, what were the other, you said, about how to obey him. You obey him by not resenting him, by not being angry. And then the light of God will guide you, will show you clearly how to obey him in the right way. You don't want to obey him in the wrong way, because some husband, not that your husband is doing this, but some husband, when they hear obey, they have you doing some of the craziest thing and saying some of the stupid stuff. That kind of obey. Don't resent him, and the spirit of truth will guide you into how to obey him in the right way.
Okay.
You stay in the light.
I think
and stay in the light instead of being in your head. And you'll see how because obey him means don't resent him. And when you don't resent him, you're going to do what you should naturally do as a wife. And all will be well.
Okay. Okay. I have to work on being more aware.
Yeah, be aware.
Okay.
And Julia, I promise you, if you can keep your mind where your body is at all time, know where you are and what you're doing, you and God are one, and he will show you how to treat your husband in the right way. Your husband wouldn't have to tell you that, or some other person would tell you, and you don't have to tell yourself. The light will show you how to be right, and you won't do it the worldly way. It'll be fine.
Okay. So in the future going forward, don't lie or anything if I don't believe it either, just to stop the fight or anything.
Right. Just don't argue.
Okay.
Never argue with the devil, because when you and your husband are arguing, just two devils arguing, and devils want to be right. And so that's why they argue. So just stop arguing, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate that, Jesse.
All right. Let me know how it goes, all right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
And you stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
Oh, yeah. We pray morning and night and haven't missed it, and I don't remember. So we're really we're trying.
Right on. All me. All right. Call me again.
Okay. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Amazing. I am so out of time. I did my best. I tried to get to everybody, and they mama if you're black. Everybody, their mama if you're white. Thank you for your support. And New York, who is this from New York? There. Element from New York. Drew, a first-time caller out of Texas. Rick, out of Virginia. Junior, out of Texas. I am out of time. Tomorrow is Black Excellence in the first 2 hours, and then Manhood Hour in the third hour. Hate is coming up now, the Hate Report. After that, the American Anchor Baby. And I'll be back tomorrow if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rhyme. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay present. Keep your mind where your body is. Always know where you are and what you're doing at all times, and you'll be fine. Take care, folks.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name in all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
You can't run from evil within yourself or outside of self. You got to deal with it, and you need good in order to deal with evil. And God is good. You need to return to the Father, and you'll see within you, he will fight the battle for you. And he will fight it without, because he will show you how to deal with it. and you will have no fear. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, along with nothing else. Nothing else means yourself, your children, your wife, your things, your ego, your reputation, and all that. You can't care about any of that. The children of anger will use it to control you. But if you love God, He will renew your mind, and none of those things will be before Him. And so when they go after you, oh, well, you may take my body, you may take my things, but you're not going to take my soul. And that's a true reality.
Thank you, Jesse Lee Peterson, for an excellent